The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. I am here with a full room full of mostly homosexuals and one straight boy on the floor. On my left, going clockwise, Eric.
Hi, guys.
Eric is our muscle daddy.
If you can I eat now?
Yes. Go eat. Stuff your face of chicken. Next up, the delightfully pleasant and always sunshine exuding Oral.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here.
Great. Next to him, the lovely Joshua.
I'm just concentrating on keeping my limbs away from Oral and Eric. So
he will put maple syrup on them and gnaw on you. I mean, anyway, next to him, Jared.
Bonjour.
Our recently matriculated? Matriculated,
yes,
right?
Matriculated.
There
yes.
we go. Big word.
Yes, not
that
yes, big
is that when they words. Cut the baby out with a knife?
Yes. Yes.
C-section. Teeth. Nice.
Cesarean section. Oh. Yes.
In the illustrious Florida Interactive Academy?
Entertainment Academy.
There
yes.
we go. I knew there was an E in there somewhere. Next to him, and we're in our special guests area now, his friend and gamer ex, I don't know, compatriot. Yeah. Carl.
Hey, that's me.
And then, I don't remember if he's been on before, but certainly part of my MediaMS podcast way back a few years ago, my former roommate and friend Matt.
How's it going?
Straight boy on the floor.
Resuming the title that our friend Jacob used to have, and you know, he is fresh off grad school in Kentucky. So thank you for being here, everyone. We are going to have a long slog of stuff, but we're going to make it fun. And so I highly encourage you to drink lots of Starbucks products and sodas.
I got you there.
So we got plenty of boy butter, right?
Elbow grease. Is that good?
Oh boy.
Yes. We only nothing but the best. Let's dip into some movies, and I know there's some interesting movie news related to the Fox Marvel universe. So, Joshua, do you want to tell us what the hell is going on with the Fox movies?
Mark Millar said that, because he's, like, you know, shepherding the
he's like
Fantastic
the creative
Four,
consultant, sort of.
Yeah, the Fantastic Four and X-Men franchises for Fox. And he said that while they don't have a crossover plan between the two universes, that some characters might show up in each other's movies. So we might see the Thing, you know, with Wolverine. And
I was going to say, let me guess, Wolverine will be in it.
Well, you can bet, you know.
So I guess this was first demonstrated, although they're in the same universe, with Professor X and Magneto showing up at the end of Wolverine.
Yeah. But no, I think that's cool and exciting, and they're definitely taking a hint from Avengers and how they put... Remember when Nick Fury showed up at the end of Iron Man? And but it was like, coolest thing you ever saw. And
it's
then
cool,
they started
but it built
seeding.
To something. Like, right? That's not going to... Well, in that case, I think it is built to something.
I feel like if they get positive feedback from these cameos or from these like bit roles or whatever they end up being, after the credit scenes, then they'll definitely do something. I don't think that's a natural fit to have the X-Men team up with the Fantastic Four, because when I think like two franchises that really mesh together, that's not on the list.
You know, they did it once in comic books.
It didn't turn out very well.
No, terrible. They go to like the negative zone. It's awful.
Oh, so in other Marvel related news, and I thought this was official, but maybe it's not. Vin Diesel is the voice of Groot.
It's not official yet.
It's not? I thought it was.
They haven't made an announcement. Okay. But he's, you know,
I mean, we understand all he has to say is Groot.
Well, that's what
the recording is done.
I mean, Vin Diesel has an amazing baritone voice. I love him to death.
The voice of the Iron Giant, and one of my favorite movies.
And I love looking at him, too. So, honestly, that he's the voice of Groot who says one thing.
Hey, not to derail, but, you know, the next Riddick movie.
Oh, I saw the trailer finally. I'm very excited.
Yes.
Because it looks like...
Pitch Black.
Pitch Black, thank
the
you.
The first, yeah.
Which was so much better than the Chronicles of Riddick.
Hey,
so.
Chronicles of Riddick is one of my favorite movies.
Yep. It's not
I'm
bad,
sorry.
But the other one's much better, so.
So, Groot.
Yeah, I am Groot. Yeah.
Although, did you know that even though he's saying I am Groot, that's just how that's his his vocal patterns. He's actually saying different things that only Rocket Raccoon can understand.
Yes, girl. I read that on Bleeding Cool as well.
Is that true?
Well, no. Like, lots of people can understand what he's saying.
He's a tree,
though.
Oh,
not just Rocket Raccoon?
Yeah, not just Rocket.
Oh, okay.
They showed that Maximus completely understands what he's talking about. Like, Groot's a really cool character. It's just, it's like Kenny. Everybody understands what Kenny's saying except for us. That's the joke. Yes, I did sleep with him, and no, it wasn't really that great.
So, I guess with all the speculation, of course, with Marvel, or not Marvel, DC's new movie, the Superman-Batman thing, the big thing is now who's going to play Batman? And I have seen a couple websites. I think Eric and I at the store
were looking at some. The name I keep seeing popping up is Ryan Gosling. And every time they throw three people, it's always him as one of the three. And I'm like,
I'm not a huge fan of his, but I mean, I guess it's okay. I mean, most of the time he's behind the cowl anyway. As long as he doesn't sound like Christian Bale with that, hey, I'm out of breath, but I'm trying to sound different.
I could see him playing Bruce Wayne. I don't know how he would be with Batman.
As long as they move away from that, which is stupid. Kevin Conroy is the gold standard. If they can make him sound like Kevin Conroy in the slightest bit, I think that would be pretty well received.
Everyone's freaking out like there can only be one Batman and it can only be Christian Bale. I'm like, did you not pay attention to all the other Batman movies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, but see, a lot of people have only seen maybe the newer ones because the older ones are older and people are like, old movies.
Batman Returns and, to a lesser extent, Batman Forever are really good movies.
They are, but...
The Cat and the Penguin. I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, do we have any other theories who might play it?
I heard a guy from Teen Wolf might be it, but I don't watch that or know who they're talking about when they talk about that guy, but he has these very dark features and really intense eyes and kind of a sexy beard, so I guess if he shaved that, he could be Bruce Wayne,
He could be a bearded Bruce Wayne.
A bearded Bruce Wayne. What he's doing is Nomad Phase training in the mountains.
Well, they're not going to do an origin thing, I think. I think they've realized at this point.
I think they're going to James Bond is.
Oh, yeah. God, if we get an origin again, I'll kill myself.
Well, maybe. People actually like the origin as much crap as they get for doing that. People really enjoy that, which is why a lot of the reason that we keep seeing it.
Yeah. His parents die. We get it.
How many times 50 years ago. Those pearls dropping.
Exactly. And slow emotion. Clink, 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 clink.
So, and then, of course, there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out, what, next year?
I haven't seen the first one.
I haven't either, honestly. That's
I saw
so funny.
Bits and pieces.
It's okay. It's really that villain.
But now,
Emma Stone is super fierce in it.
What's the deal that they're making a Sinister Six? Because they got Electro and Rhino.
Rumor that, Electro's the villain in this one. They had the Lizard before.
And Rhino.
The Rhino's in this one.
Yeah.
I don't think he will become the Rhino yet. I think he'll be sort of, the character will be there.
Paul Giamatti is playing him.
Yeah, Paul Giamatti is
playing
him.
Which I don't understand that at all.
Herman Schultz? No, that's shocking.
The main villain is... They keep saying the main villain is Electro.
Well, that's
and not
that's
Rhino. So I think Rhino will be sort of like a subset
of
villain.
They've shown Giamatti in the mocap thing. Like, they've shown him in the weird outfit.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe he will be. I don't know.
But I mean, they would build towards the Sinister Six. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, because they released a set photo, and it has like Lot 6, but above the 6, they wrote the word Sinister. So I think that's sort of a tease that that's coming.
Could they do it as the Sinister 5 and then still call it Sinister 6?
That would be hilarious.
Like in Superior Foes of Spider-Man,
which is
comic book.
So good.
It's so hilarious.
We'll talk about
I think that's good, like, to do the like what we do with the Avengers was build it up to a superhero team. Now we're getting a villain team. I think that's cool.
I think so. So moving on to actual movies that we have seen, and I know I've already spoiled apart the teaser of Wolverine, but otherwise, how did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Jean Grey was fantastic.
I thought you were tired of her, like, too much.
Well, yeah, well, no, I wasn't. I'm never tired of Jean.
You got more than you bargained for.
I got a lot more than I bargained
for. She was in it, like, every
15
minutes.
She was like, and if she wasn't in it, they were talking about her, so I was there. I was so there for that.
You like that.
I love that.
So even the ending sort of where it kind of all went white.
The white hot room I was in.
Mm-hmm. I know. I was like, oh my gosh, is that like
that
a reference to that?
That was, no.
Or is it just heaven?
Come on.
Yes, Jean goes to heaven.
The white hot room is heaven.
Yeah. So,
or Maui.
So overall, we liked Wolverine.
Here's the thing.
I don't say that.
I
did not mind the movie. We saw a preview of it and I was fine. I mean, I've actually been on a bullet train. Bullet trains go really fast. Chances are you won't stay on the top of a roof of a bullet train with a knife.
What
Having
about with
said that,
six knives stuck to
no,
your hand?
No, I'm talking
that
about the
guy
other
guy.
Oh, the guy.
But my thing is, I was fine with the movie except for the last 20 minutes or so where I'm just like, why are we here? Like, the idea of
the voice.
What is going on? Why are we here? Why is all of this necessary? And when you find out why all of it was necessary, I'm like, that was your plan?
Yeah.
Like, this really convoluted mess was your plan. This is it. This is garbage.
I think 75% of the movie was solid, what you'd want. Ninjas, although not too much. You know, Wolverine fighting in feudal Japan, having flashbacks, having
sex with... It wasn't even feudal Japan.
Not feudal Japan, I'm sorry. Modern Japan, but having flashbacks to World War II. But that culture, that sort of Shogun Ronin culture.
It's not even Shogunate. It's the Imperialist.
When they were in Nagasaki, I was thinking
Yeah,
that
it's the Imperialist part of Japan. Like, my thing is, you could have done more flashbacks to how he got to Japan. Mm-hmm. That would have been fine.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Mm-hmm. They're just like, here's the beginning. Now we're in the present day. Don't stick your chopsticks in rice. Like, that's what we got.
Forgot about
that. And I'm just like, wow, that's a trope.
He does not speak a word of Japanese the whole movie.
Oh, wow. Even that's a little disappointing.
Even though in the comic, he's like fluent in it.
Yeah.
Not because he's like a professional, because he spent a lot of time there.
But divorce yourself from the fact that it's an adaptation of the comic, so you know, don't fall down that
very
trap.
Very loose adaptation.
But I think
he was
works.
In the Silver Samurai suit, and they used it to break his claws, drill into
that
his bone marrow, and
cool.
steal his... healing factor?
That was like...
That's garbage.
Well, but it was kind of a neat thing, because I know I'm sure they've done it in the comic, but I can't remember
the last
time.
My iPhone could do a lot, but damn, that robot had like everything.
It keeps me alive.
Oh, they didn't do Lady Deathstrike. Well,
No, they didn't do Lady Deathstrike, and Viper was completely worthless.
Viper was horrible.
So terrible.
That I could have dealt without. I thought she was Natasha. I thought she was Black Widow at first. Like, with the mask over her face, like, I was like, oh my god, that's weird. Why would they have her here? But it wasn't.
No.
I really loved the first like third of the movie. It was like a great, great setup. Uh-huh. And then in the second third, it was really boring and that weird romance with that girl. My favorite part of the movie was the girl ninja girl with the samurai sword who was like I'm your... I can't remember her name, but she was like, I'm
Yukio.
Your bodyguard.
Yukio.
She was the best part of the movie. She's absent good. For that middle chunk of the movie. And then the end was just a total cluster.
You didn't like
cuss.
Logan and Mariko's little thing? I like that.
Oh no, I thought that was so boring and just like, so
oh,
bad.
Oh my god, they're in a love multi.
Yeah.
Hijinks ensue.
And then all the action scenes didn't really do anything for me. He doesn't kill one ninja the whole time. That
That's
was a big
true.
Thing on,
but
on,
I
like,
did
Twitter.
Like them shooting the arrow things and like holding them back. That was kind of a cool visual.
Yeah, in the end, it all amounted to nothing. I love it when characters get maimed or physically changed in some way and have to like overcome that.
Right.
But really, just his claws came back and still did the job. Just, I don't know.
Isn't, if I remember my comics correctly, she's the one that turns into Lady Deathstrike, the daughter. Isn't that right?
I don't think so.
Well, they do it two ways.
Oh, okay.
Isn't he right?
Daughter,
right?
Yeah.
It's the daughter that's supposed
Which
to become Lady
Deathstrike. It would have made sense if the love story, if they had gone that way, the love story would have made more sense.
Wait,
to
Mariko
me.
Or Yukio?
Mariko.
Mariko dies.
No,
she
Mariko
dies
in the... Yuriko becomes
yeah.
the
oh,
Lady
okay.
Deathstrike.
Okay, Yukio. Okay. Okay. There's a reason I had thought that it was the daughter that turned into Lady Deathstrike. But.
I don't know. All I'm going to say is I enjoyed it. The spoiler thing I already said at the end was, you know, kind of, we saw
Professor
that coming.
Xavier Tokyo Drift? He was like ripping through the freaking crowd. Give me a freaking break.
That was kind of hilarious.
He was Racer X. Just, I thought, oh, a tasteful rolling in. Oh, no. He was
zooming
dodging
around.
And leaving.
He put that wheel to come off. And it's like, you know, I think it would have been a bigger impact if Magneto stepped to the side and he rolled up elegantly and powerful. No. We had to see him for like 20 minutes dodging everybody.
Yeah.
Listen, that scene like blew my mind. You kind of knew it was kind of coming, like a setup for the next X-Men movie.
Well, you saw him wheeling up for 20 minutes. You knew it was coming.
It was. But I loved it. Like the little setup with like the metal shaking and then but everybody freezing in the background, and
I
that got me really excited for the next movie.
I am too.
And then they show Trask everywhere. Yeah.
Trask-industries.com.
Yep. It's a cool website. So
with Peter Dinklage with a mean mustache.
He does have a mean mustache.
Handle
Elysium. We are going to talk briefly about it because this movie, if you have not been interested in it, I want you to go out and see it.
I'm going to see it. Don't ruin this for me, bitch.
I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it. I respect that.
I
hear the mean lesbians in Jodie Foster.
Mean French lesbians.
Yeah, is it bad that I mistaked her for Tilda Swinton when I saw the previews?
Ooh.
I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen a lot of the conceptual work that they did for the movie, and it looked very enticing.
The thing about it is Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9. District 9 blew my mind away because it was so good with so little, but yet the take on technology in a like not third world, but in a Cape Town, shanty town,
essentially an internment camp,
sort of situation. Camp. And the social commentary of that was brilliant.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
This movie I felt was the Hollywoodization, but done by the same guy, so it was still good. But like there were certain things that he did in it that I just reminded me that this was a Hollywood film. But I mean, a lot of tropes from the District 9. There was like medical technology. There was sort of like not an internment camp this kind, but sort of like if Los Angeles was
America, or like the world itself is an internment camp.
Yeah, because Elysium's where all the rich people live.
There was a lot of interesting social commentary, like social commentary, a lot of immigration commentary.
Oh my god, totally an immigration parable.
And the really interesting sort of stuff. The Jodie Foster with the French accent really threw me.
Well, you know what they said about that? They played her as French because she knew French, and they wanted to be someone. They wanted her to play someone not just American. They wanted to be someone from Europe. So
yeah, that was really, really European weird. Yeah.
Yes, and she was fierce bitch.
But stunning cinematography.
Yes,
I really,
yes.
really liked.
And just seeing who did the conceptual art? Was it? It's the guy who did Blade Runners. Because it's Sid Mead, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was Sid Mead or one of those guys.
Okay.
That whole like Taurus.
Yeah, the Taurus.
Idea of a space station.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been obsessed with that whole idea, and it's so cool the way they realize it. So anyway, music's great too.
I couldn't bring myself to even go see it because just like District 9 just looked like another important social issue told through really disgusting violence high-tech sci-fi.
The violence
it's
level
not that violent.
It's really not.
Did you
as
see it,
yes,
gross.
I saw District 9.
I heard it's like people die in very inventive ways, and I'm just like, eh.
If you focus solely on that, then you've got some problems.
No, I'm just saying.
Some people were turned off.
Told me about
it,
and he was just like, "Oh yeah, me and my buddy really like to see people get like
it's
blown to bits." And I was like,
"You really should see District 9.
Like,
it's
was
brilliant.
It like Judge Dredd level?
No,
death
because
and violence?
It's not done for spectacle. It really is not. I think it's done to really affect you. But the subversive kind of social thing under it is what really makes it
well.
Cool.
You know, Joshua, look at it this way: if you listen to a song like Strange Fruit, you can think it's about bringing in
What's
the
that?
Harvest, or you can know it's about
Anyone
lynching
else?
People.
What is that?
Billie Holiday.
I don't
Strange
oh,
Fruit.
Okay.
I don't know.
Sorry.
No. So, like, it's just, if you're not, like, an active reader or listener
it's
or
a
watcher,
layers
you're
thing.
Not going to get everything.
Context,
see violence.
Context versus subtext.
Exactly.
Well, and that's why I think people were turned off by District 9, because they saw it as spectacle. And they might be turned off by this even more, because it's more spectacle than that
well,
sort
you
of
you know, I
know,
felt
thing.
That Elysium was a little bit more preachy than District 9.
Well, it's and, more overt with the, yeah, the
and
immigration
I was turned off
thing.
A little bit by the level of preach, but other than that, the movie was like is fantastic.
So you
done.
Can enjoy it for multiple things, yeah. really. So, did anyone see Kick-Ass yet?
Nope.
I actually, some surprise, I haven't. I love the first one. I've heard the second one is just not quite as well realized as Matthew Vaughn's first one. But
well, first of all, Matthew Vaughn's like a great director.
So yeah,
he can make a lot of things work that otherwise wouldn't. And I don't like the idea of seeing like young kids and teens mercilessly.
Yeah,
like,
that's
killing
where
people.
It's over the top,
and
I
that isn't.
Big muscly body, I'm in.
Sit well with me. What did you say?
Aaron Johnson is.
Oh yeah, everyone loves
body.
Him.
You
he
know he's
ripped.
British.
Have yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my god.
And
gosh.
He used to be a Calvin Klein model.
He's,
really?
He was ripped in the first one.
Oh, I am.
Yeah. I don't know. I have mixed feelings. But I am interested to see Jim Carrey play his character, especially after he's like distanced himself from it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
I just can't see that. It's like 300 with teenagers. And I was like, eh.
So, TV news then. I thought we had mentioned this, but I guess it came out in between. The Arrow series is doing very well on CW. Is coming back, of course. And DC, or not DC, but Warner's is trying to use this as a springboard for a Flash show. Didn't we do that like 20 years ago or 25 years ago?
Has it been
that.
20 years?
It's been a,
oh my God.
It's been a long time.
I love that show.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean, do we think Flash will work in the modern era? And do you think they'll do it as like a procedural too because of his background? That would be kind of interesting. It was like
a
CSI sort of thing, but with the Flash.
Well, I've only watched a few episodes of Arrow, and by a few episodes, I've seen 5 minutes here or there because I refuse to watch this show.
Why?
But they know why. But
you know why.
But isn't.
Oh, God.
Hey, Tomorrow People is coming.
Barrowman is on it, okay? Yeah, that should be enough.
Aren't all CW hero or supernatural shows just procedurals with magic or technology in it?
Pretty much.
They're formulaic and how, you know.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it works.
It's supposed to be, what, 3 episodes? 2, introducing him at a cop at, was it Starling City? Called Starling, I think.
Starling, yeah.
City, and then then it spins, and then the 3rd episode he's supposed to turn into the Flash, and then it spins off into his thing.
Because ratings have slightly slumped, and it's time to
Black Canary scream.
Well, I'm excited. Now, who has seen Orange is the New Black?
I've watched it all.
I've only watched, I'm on episode 5.
I've watched the first episode.
Ooh, Carl, you can
I
talk
know,
about.
I can yeah, talk girl. Now. So, let's talk with Carl, because, you know, you haven't got to talk much. What do you think?
I absolutely love it. The girls are cray, and they are so different, and they really commentates on a lot of things that don't get brought up, like being transgender in jail, like being a person of color in jail. It's just so many issues are brought up in this dialogue that's created.
Can I say something? Captain fucking Janeway is in it.
Yeah.
As a Russian bitch.
I have to watch it now.
She is a bitch. Oh my God. God. And there, if you are a fan of the female form or a lesbian, a lesbian trapped in a man's body, whatever, you will love the show.
Well, let me tell you, I thought I'd be disgusted by the lesbian.
Yeah, I kind of was one of the words too.
It doesn't bother me because I'm enjoying the show.
There's no labia, characters. So it's not like it's right in your face.
Well, just that, what's that character's name, Jared? That man thing?
The tranny?
About that was from that other movie?
Oh, from Edge of 17.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Blue. She's the voracious lesbian.
Yeah, blue.
Boo. That's her name. Boo. Yeah.
If you have not seen or heard of this, this is the Amazon. This is one of the Netflix original series that they're doing. This is the creator of Weeds. And I actually watched it because I had heard, you know, people talk about it. But Fresh Air had an interview with the creator, and I realized when they were talking to her that she's a creator of Weeds. And Weeds is a fantastic show that I followed for years. So I'm really excited. Was it 10 episodes?
13.
They're all up.
Yeah, because they did it the same way they did Arrested Development. So I have watched it all.
You just can burn through those and then knock over beer bottles and have all kinds of fun. But yeah, if you are definitely, if you are not a fan of the female form or lesbianism sort of grosses you out, be aware that you may have to fast forward.
It's not even that
because I'm grossed by it, but it was so entertaining.
Well, they might just want to fast forward through a couple of scenes. Like that one in the shower where they're like,
it's not all gross too.
It's sex in jail. Like, we had Oz. Give the lesbian some slack.
You know, I still haven't seen Oz. I need to go back and watch that.
You know, we're having sex, or, you know, like, I'm a person who's trapped in this horrible situation, and you are a person who I find attractive, maybe not attractive. I need you to protect me. I'll give you some cigarettes. Like, it's a really great show.
And it's a pretty, I think, honest look at some of the things that people in jail deal with. Yeah. You know, I mean,
is this a hardcore prison?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's like not country club prison, but it's not hardcore.
I mean, it's still, you went to prison, bitch.
Yeah.
P.S. One of my favorite characters is Tasty.
Oh my God, Tasty.
I love Tasty.
Is that the tranny?
No. Poussey.
Poussey. Yeah. Ooh, they can get it.
They're two of my favorite characters because Poussey. They use them, you know, for complete comic relief.
Uh-huh.
And then you slowly start to see, like, the depth of these women.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they go from pretending to be white, which is hilarious, to having this really authentic, you know, like, I'm in jail, you're in jail, this is what our life is like conversation. And it's like, two of the most powerful and funny, like, moments in the whole series. Like, it's a great series to watch. Yeah. P.S. I watched all of House of Cards in a day and a half. It was really good.
Good Lord.
Honey, you need a life.
I had a life.
I couldn't get into that one.
House of Cards.
Which one? The House of Cards?
Yeah, I got, like, 2 episodes in. I was like, I see the craft, but it's not really hooking me.
It's like
once
West
he killed
Wing
the dog,
on...
I was like, whoa, buddy. Hey.
No, it just shows you he is willing to do anything because he's a politician
Kevin
who wants to climb
Spacey.
To the top.
Aww.
It's really good.
I need to watch it. Has anybody? I know I am not a Breaking Bad watcher. I will have to go watch it at the distant future once everybody knows what happens. But are these final episodes everything you would hope they would be?
Yes. Yeah. I haven't watched last night's episode. I'm watching it tonight. But it's Breaking Bad. It's perfect. It was pitch perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For a split split second, well, you're like, Akka, what? you're like, okay, what's happened? And then they just, everything about that show just reminds you, this is who this person is. This is what's gone on.
Right.
And there's this scene, I'm not going to ruin it, but there's a scene with Hank where, you know, you're rooting for Walt. And then you're reminded of all the horrible, awful things that Walt has done to survive.
Right.
And it's great. And Jesse Pinkman has lost his mind.
Well,
no, yeah, at this point in the series, he's completely drained of all emotion or just caring about anything he saw. He's like, his love interest gone. Like innocence, like youth, like that kid gone.
Yeah.
Everything forced just like taken from him. You know. He's got and even his father figure gone. He has all this money and no joy in his life. Can't do anything with it. He's like throwing it on people's doorsteps. And like with Walt, I really, you don't see that in TV where a good guy becomes a bad guy. Well, and that's what the whole show is to make like a realistic arc for protagonist to antagonist. And this is one of the best shows I've ever seen. It's not even done yet, so I can't, you know, put my final stamp of approval on it yet, but so far it's been nothing but awesome.
A 9.5, because you don't give 10.
I give it a 10. I give it a 10.
A 9.99.
Before I give it a
actually, the second season I wasn't a huge fan of, even though a lot happened. But I will argue that Walt was never a good character. He was always like pompous and prideful and not very nice. And then he got laid low, and now he's clawing his way back up to the top, and he's killing people to do it.
Well, I would say he was at the top, but then left, and now he sort of became like Gus Friedman. And, you know, like he's like having a one day, just like Gus Friedman was running his chicken joint. What was it called? It was like
Chicken Brothers.
Yeah. Chicken Hermanos.
Porios Hermanos.
Porios Hermanos, yeah.
So this show, at the very least, has established Bryan Cranston as a serious, amazing actor.
Yeah, amazing bald actor, which is why people are saying, hey, he's the next Lex Luthor.
Yes, I know. And I think he would play an excellent, and I mean, it would be a little close to this Walt character.
But nobody would care. Yeah. Anybody who watches Breaking Bad would kill for it.
You know what I did see the other day? There was an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Bryan Cranston, and it adds this like magic lawyer, and he had no pants on, but he had no pants, but he had like spats or garters up. Oh my god, it was ridiculous.
I love
and it. You just happen to find this on television, or you have all of the seasons on DVD?
I will say this, I have not seen much of it. Pat watches it. That is why I saw it.
I mean, I've watched it all, but then again, I was also watching Degrassi and was 13.
I was a little old to watch it when it was out, and I didn't, but now I'm going back. So.
God, I love Salem the Talking Cat.
Yeah.
Did you see the College Humor video where they meet up again for dinner after like all these years?
No, I need to watch it.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Magic.
Okay, just go watch it.
I had a Gigapet that was Salem. It was great.
Oh. So there's a lot of animated comics. Television right now, and unfortunately I'm only watching I watched Teen Titans Go for about 5 seconds and turned it off.
Okay. Teen Titans,
it was
terrible.
Just dreadful. What? So obnoxious.
Right after I watch Beware the Batman, and it comes on like it tapes a little bit, and I can't shut it off fast enough.
So wait, you don't like that one?
No. Oh, Batman, okay. I like the Teen Titans.
Well, you kind of have to, honey.
I know, I actually, I don't have to. But I didn't think I'd like it, but I actually do enjoy Beware the Batman. I think it's really well done.
The CG is not too bad.
CG is not too bad. I think that the storytelling is pretty good. I like it's more the characters we don't know that's being introduced. Egghead is about to be introduced. There was Magpie.
They have Professor Pig coming up.
Professor Pig was there.
That's kind of cool.
Toad, right? I think that's
The Morrison stuff. That's neat.
So that's kind of cool.
Joshua, have you watched any of this stuff?
No, I haven't checked out Beware the Batman. I haven't. I watched a couple episodes of Teen Titans Go, and one where Cyborg had like a meatball gun, and it was like, it's me. Meatball time, and you're like shoot meatballs in everybody's mouths.
I don't know why they think this is good. Yeah, unless kids love this.
It almost
I don't know.
Feels like, you know, Marvel canceled Avengers Earth Somebody's Heroes, which was great, and replaced it with Avengers Assemble. No, sorry, I'm thinking of Spider-Man. They had Spectacular Spider-Man, which was very well received, replaced with this very fourth wall breaking, kooky, silly Ultimate Spider-Man. Yeah. It's almost like that. Like, Teen Titans was a great show. I could cry in that Terra episode. But now with Teen Titans Go, it's like, oh, let's like really play to our audience with like kids and silliness and stuff. I feel like Teen Titans Go is doing a much better job. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny, but it's also not something I'm like dialing in every week to like sit down and wait for. No. It's like we're not the target demographic.
No,
it's not an all ages thing.
Did
like
you guys
Justice.
See the Wonder Woman short?
No. Oh my gosh,
the Diva short. My God, that woman.
I would watch a weekly series of that.
Is that good?
Fantastic. It's hilarious. It's so good. It's so well done.
Do they have the shorts up on a website or anything? Because if you
I
miss
don't know,
them,
but when the DVD comes out of like those collected. I'm going to buy it.
Batman Brave and the Bold's coming out on Blu-ray, the whole collection.
I already have it on DVD.
So excited. I can't wait.
I want to see the Neil Patrick Harris episode again. The
Music Meister.
The Music Meister.
Oh, I love it.
And Batman defeats him with a bat auto-tuner.
Yes. Love it. And Wonder Woman. Sorry. I just love saying that. So, television is done. Let's.
Wait.
Oh, God.
I started watching, I even though I'm really slow to this, I fell out of anime for a while because I was just bored with everything.
It happens.
Like, how many high school kids with superpowers who also pilot robots, who also stand on rooftops,
who also get
windswept looks, who also have two friends, one guy, one girl. Guy and girl have been close friends since kindergarten.
Are we talking about Attack on Titan?
Yes, I started watching Attack on Titan. Oh my God.
Me too, girl.
Okay. So Attack on Titan is this kind of like post-apocalyptic scenario where these huge human-like entities that can be up to like 3 miles tall.
Okay.
Called Titans, they look human, just show up out of nowhere. And humanity attempts to fight back and they lose, and they build these huge walls and they live in these like cities. Mm-hmm. And each wall, each ring of the of this like circle is like, you know, outer ring, which is, you know, normal people, inner ring where things are a little better, and then the central ring where all the rich and wealthy, like aristocratic people live,
the bougies.
Yeah. But what's really cool is that they've lived this way for hundreds of years.
Uh-huh.
And then one Titan called the Colossal Titan, which is like 50 meters tall, just breaks the wall and people get eaten. And the Titans eat people, and you don't know why. And they're not very, most of them aren't very smart.
Uh-huh.
And they don't even eat us because they need sustenance. They just eat it because they like it.
Yeah.
That's all they're there for, just to eat.
And it's how do you fight this colossal entity?
Is there a beanstalk involved?
No.
But this is something, right?
Beans coming?
Spoiler.
Like there's,
does anybody own a cow?
No. Humans develop a way to fight them, but they really don't understand why they're here.
Pilot giant robots to fight them.
No.
But it's slash the back of the neck or something. Weaponry is really cool.
It's really cool because during the like commercial breaks, they give you bits and pieces of the world, and you slowly start to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
But if you've ever watched anime and you love anime,
does Yoko Kanno do the music? If so, I'm sold.
I don't know. But it's really
is there
great.
Catchy J-pop as the title music?
Yeah.
All right. I'm back.
It's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. It's really good. Yeah. It's all the rage overseas. Attack on Titan.
I will check
it
out.
Do it.
I mentioned this in the Doctor Who microsode, which is immediately before this. Well, if you're on the Nerdy Show feed, it's a few back. But if you're on the Flame On feed, it's immediately before this. The new guy playing the Doctor, Pete Capaldi, is in a movie on Netflix streaming called In the Loop. If you are curious what the new Doctor might be like, you should check it out because it is amazing. Oh, and it has guy who played Tony
Joseph
Soprano.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis when they go back in time.
No, that's
people?
Looper, not that one.
Oh.
Who is the guy who played Tony Soprano? Can't think of his name.
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini is in it.
May he rest in peace.
As a total bitter, disenfranchised general.
Doctor? What?
No. The Pete Capaldi is a Scottish guy and the most foul-mouthed man you've ever heard. It's awesome. It's like Warren Ellis and what's his name? Craig Ferguson. But no, check out In the Loop if you want to kind of get caught up on that. Now, moving on to social and gay news, we need to talk about our friends over in Mother Russia because they're being kind of dicks right now.
What do you mean right now?
Well, okay, they've been dicks for like a long time, but more so now, at least to gays, than, you know, other things.
That's right.
Because they didn't used to put gays out in the pogroms. Did the Soviet Union have a big anti-gay thing? I don't remember. Yeah. Did they? Okay. Well,
yeah, they do.
So really, nothing's changed.
No, it's always been bad.
Well, now there's more transparency, so it's a lot worse. And where it's going to come into play for the international community is the Winter Olympics next year in Sochi. And that is going to basically have all these Olympians coming in and being restricted about expressing their lifestyle, their who they are, whatever, in public, because that is what's illegal now. So the question is, what does this mean for these Olympiads? And what does this mean to us, like as fans of the Olympics? I love the Winter Olympics.
I do love the Winter Olympics.
I could watch curling all day.
I heard like a lot of the they're like qualifying right now.
Yeah,
and they were like donating if they won something. Donating this to my lesbian friends in New York or in overseas. So that's what I was hearing. You know, that's been going on over there.
Okay,
and the gay bars are like banning off like Russian vodka, right? Like
yes, mm-hmm. I want to touch on that too because there's a big thing about banning all Russian vodka, and then the question is what is Russian vodka?
Right.
Because there's this big debate about Stoli because it's one of the more well-known ones. And supposedly, even though Stoli is a foreign-owned, not Russian-owned company, they have such strong ties to Russia that people are still banning it, and it's this whole big
thing. Well, apparently it's going back in the Russian hands.
God I'm sober now. Oh, God, I would just fall apart.
Stoli and
Stoli. No vodka!
Well, not, some vodka is not Russian.
Yeah.
That's Leeds. I want Leeds.
Absolute now. I look at this as a platform to talk about human rights issues.
Yeah.
We can't always get what we want, but we can at least make a big stink about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. The thing about boycotts is like, it's more about the intangibility, like getting the dialogue started. Like everyone's looking at Russia now. Like the IOC has to look at this. And the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, has a clause in it that says if our athletes are being discriminated against, they can move the location. So it's putting a lot of pressure on both Russia and the IOC and all these other countries. That
the IOC has been a fairly wishy-washy body, especially with China and all the stuff they had. I mean, they don't have a good track record is what I'm saying. So I, at this point, don't feel like we're going to see anything that drastic. It would be remarkable if that was the case because who would they go to right now? Who has facilities that could just step right in and do that?
Well, they'd have to go to like an old
previous country
thing,
that still keeps it up. Back to Canada.
Back to China.
Yeah, Vancouver. Back to Japan or something like that. Or Norway.
Ooh, Nagano. I can go back to Nagano.
Really good. Yeah.
You can go back.
thing is for that to happen, it would require many of the founder nations of with the IOC to actively boycott, to say, we're not sending our athletes over because this is ridiculous. And honestly, it's sucks and it's horrible, but there's too much money involved. It's not going to happen. No.
So now what I want to see, and I think this is what we will see, is we will see all these athletes make a very public thing about it so that there's like safety in numbers. Because if there are a ton of major athletes coming up and saying, I support my gay brothers, or kissing, as the case of the Swedish team or whatever, they're not going to be able to do anything about it without really pissing off a lot of countries. And I know Russia's, they're stubborn. Let's face
but
it.
But when
not
you have
stupid.
Six international incidences all at once, I mean, that's pressure.
They're not going to do something that's stupid. Yeah. So it's actually going to make the Olympics a lot more exciting, I think, to see.
Well, in the big thing, the last thing I read was the IOC said, that there's a clause that says you're not allowed to the athletes are not allowed to kind of advocate any kind of political thing, and that they're actually reviewing it, and several top sports heads, sports czars, for lack of a better word, are saying, this isn't political, this is a human rights thing, and that's different. They should be able to express themselves with this as far as a human right thing.
Yeah.
So I know there was some fear early on of censure and possible banning of athletes for any kind of overt action. And I guarantee you that countries that have really prominent gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender athletes that are competing are going to send extra security with them.
Oh, God, is Johnny Weir competing again?
I think he's done. Ooh. I think he's done with the Olympics.
He said something about wanting to be arrested, too. But I think you're right. I think he's like a media consultant now. He's not.
Yeah, like he's done. He's done with the Olympics.
Well, there's been several American athletes who have said, go ahead, try to arrest him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, America's pretty brazen about it, though. So, Jared and Carl went to GamerX, the first annual convention by our friend and past interviewee, Matt Kahn.
Yes, we did.
And you guys had a great time, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, this was like, 2 weeks ago? A week ago? A week and a half ago?
About 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jared was there as a media guest representing for us. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And Carl was a volunteer.
Yep.
Sent him up with flyers. And evidently, you can't take flyers.
That set off airport security, by the way.
They confiscated our flyers.
Oh, my God.
What did you put in that?
At the Orlando airport.
What?
Because they were used, I guess something related to them was used in the bombing in the Boston Marathon.
Flyers?
The flame on flyers.
The flame on flyers.
That is
terrorists.
There's a
bag. Oh, God, what did we do now?
Wait, you literally went through TSA and they opened your bag and took out the flyers.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Yes.
So just so we know, if we're going to be traveling, check your luggage.
Can we all become like hotshot Air Force pilots and call ourselves the Flame On Flyers and we have a robbery with the Blue Angels? Can we do that? That needs to be a thing.
I mean, you want to spring for flying lessons.
We need a fan art submission. There's game. One for you.
So how was the convention?
As a volunteer, I loved it. I didn't get to go to many things, but it's just the atmosphere was so great. Everyone was so happy and comfortable and mm-hmm. safe.
Yeah.
And I just think it was a lot different than like Comic-Con, or Anime Boston, anything else I've been to.
A little more intimate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Intimate's a good word for some things.
Okay, did you meet Matt Kahn when you were there?
I saw him. I didn't like take time to talk to him because he was busy. You know,
okay, yeah. Was his around. Partner there, his boyfriend with
yeah.
him?
Mm-hmm.
Was his booty as nice as it looked on the cam when we saw it?
I didn't look.
Wait, is his boyfriend Jared. The one with the crazy hair? Like, Matt's got some crazy hair.
But no, his boyfriend oh, no. doesn't have crazy hair.
Okay. Because yeah. I don't know who his boyfriend is. But yeah. I saw that other guy who's like one of the main promoter people.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's Tony?
Got, yeah, he's got like the crazy hair too.
Yeah.
There was like that one shot of both of them. I'm like, wow, they like cool curly hair in San Francisco.
I have to say that I kind of felt like a straight parent to a gay child because there were so many transgendered people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's such a delicate issue for some of them. And I really didn't want to say anything or anything like that. So I was just, I was just very reserved whenever I saw, somebody who, I couldn't really
tell. Indeterminate
tell.
Gender.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you said earlier there was lots of cross play.
Yes.
Yep.
So not just cosplay, as we learned, but like the reverse gender
cross play. So what was that one you saw, Carl?
Oh my God. Drag Princess Peach. It was the best, like full on beard and
Skag
like
drag, right?
Beard. Yeah, unshaved legs, just turning up all night.
Wonder Men or
no?
Storm.
Easy, yeah.
I didn't see the storm.
I saw the pictures.
Martian
later.
I got pictures.
Catwoman, Catman.
The ones that I remembered offhand was the boxer from the latest Punch Up game for the Wii. I forget what his name was, he was there and he was pretty cute. And I kind of squealed a little bit when I saw this costume, but it was Rey from Breath of Fire 3.
That was one of
my favorite characters when I was growing up. So.
Nice. So there were a lot of video game creators who are gay, or mm-hmm. BioWare was representing, right?
Well, Carl was at the BioWare panel.
I was, the BioWare Romances panel.
Yeah.
That was great. I was, again, volunteering, so I was just running around with a mic. But you can tell like they really want to incorporate like non-straight storylines, non-monogamous storylines, things that push the boundaries. It's just, they had to relay that there are sometimes limitations, money involved.
Well, what was it recently? One of the head writers had quit from BioWare because she had gotten so many death threats.
I did see that. That's terrible. I mean,
sucks.
Oh, and I think you guys told me like Westboro Baptist was supposed to boycott.
Oh, that's right.
We made him a cake.
And they didn't show up. Aww.
So I ended up eating it.
Wow, the whole thing? Now, as far as other podcasters, we do know at least Geeks Out was there.
I did talk to the people at Geeks Out.
Joey and I forgot who else who are they're doing the Skip Ender's Game thing that we're going to be participating with.
Shout out to Geeks Out.
Yeah, they're doing some really good stuff and getting a lot of good publicity too, which is awesome. And then Gamer.net or Gay Gamer, they were there. Yeah.
Sal was there.
Yes. Who was it?
Sal.
Oh, Sal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's cool. Any other things that you saw that were...
There was a Pandora proposal.
Pandora
Box, she did a little number as Alice from
American McGee.
And she was also
Harley.
Harley, yeah. Yep. I saw the picture I saw. Yeah.
Fabulous.
I guess. Well, I know she was a guest. Like they, I think they sought her out. But I think she's also a big gamer too. So.
Yeah.
Cool. It's a big gay name to have there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I really would like to go in the future. Mm-hmm. It sounded like a Comic Con. Not too crazy, but yeah, very intimate. Lots of people in the same things. Lots of gaming.
Yeah,
of course, it's a gaming convention.
Dances are great too.
Yeah, did they have like a Dance Dance Revolution stuff?
There was like a Just Dance, but like actual dances. Like they brought in law musical performers, and people were just getting down and drunk.
And this was in Japantown, which if you ever go to San Francisco, it's like a mall and a hotel for Japanese people. Like, yeah. It's like all Japanese. Like, you're in Japan in this little mall thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that was wonderful. Mall, so. Yeah.
I'm jealous. We have a very special treat coming up, but before we get to that news.
Wait, you skipped a segment.
One question. Okay. I'll give you one question. Okay. First, music. Because I want to tell you right now, I listen to Applause and I listen to, what's the other one called?
Roar.
Roar.
I actually like Roar a lot better. And I love Lady Gaga, but I think that new song sounds like club shit. It's the same crap I hear all the time at the clubs, and I am so sick of it. At least Roar is a nice throwback to like Eye of the Tiger and that stuff from the 80s, which I love, of course.
It's actually a complete ripoff from another song people are saying.
Yeah.
Not even Eye of the Tiger, but it's like a different
song. No, Sarah Bareilles' song.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If you play them side by side, apparently they're the same, but I don't know.
It's called like Pride
But do you really like the Applause song? A lot of people seem to like
it. No, I didn't say that.
No, I know not here, but I mean, I was surprised when I heard it. I'm like, this is not
good. It has this like insistent beat, and it's not that catchy, and it's more just like kind of a generic dancey song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the video came out, and I wasn't impressed by it. It was just her in a bunch of new crazy outfits.
Like with her new art sort of thing she's doing with pop. Performance art. Yeah, I thought it would be something a little more challenging, but why really? Why would I think that?
I don't know. If the question is, which is better, Katy Perry's Roar or Lady Gaga's Applause?
Neither, because one's trite and the other one's stolen.
Then the answer is Lana Del Rey's Summertime Sadness.
Yes.
I love Lana Del Rey.
Oh, my God.
We do have questions.
From Nick Schillingford.
Is he cute?
I don't know. He doesn't have a picture.
Is that
he
a real name?
A little picture. Yeah, it's his real name. His Twitter handle is nschillingford21.
Well, hello.
So.
Could be
and his question
Hi,
is,
Nick.
Eric might know this one. It says, is Batman as crazy and mentally unstable as his rogues?
Yes. He's a mind fuck.
Now, this is getting autobiographical.
Okay. I'm married to the Batman and I want to die every day. No. But I'm not allowed out.
Wow.
Now,
I'm sorry. Did I
go? Wow, Nick, you really hit a sore spot.
Sorry, Nick.
It's very appropriate because of Batman, was it 23 that came out a couple weeks ago or like last week? I want to touch on that when we get to comics, but I will say it definitely shows that Bruce is a bit mentally unstable. And not that we haven't realized this before, but it really emphasizes that fact when he was coming up with his whole alter ego. So
yeah, that brings up the question of does he create his villains? Like, do they rise? Are they there because he's there?
I think that has kind of always been the implication. But
that's
modern context. Well, no. To some extent.
Well, some heroes rise up to stop the villains, but some people say that just his presence in Gotham sort of breeds this like other breed of crazy people who want to play with him.
Is Batman mentally unstable? As mentally unstable as his rogues? That's another thing. I don't know that all of his rogues are at that mentally unstable. Some are just like criminals. They just want to make money. They want to be successful.
But most of them have like a shtick, like Mad Hatter and the Joker and Two-Face and Penguin.
See, I think
Riddler,
Catwoman is perhaps more sane than insane. I've always seen her as a very smart, opportunistic sort of woman. Who
horny.
Is not
don't
insane.
Forget horny.
Oh, very horny. But I don't think she's insane. So I would say she, in some ways, may be even more sane than Batman. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
I think Batman's just as crazy as his villains, but he's doing it for good. So that makes it okay.
He's the Dexter of Gotham City.
Yeah, but he doesn't
kill.
He'll break every bone in your body and you wish you were dead.
Yeah, well, that's true. So that is the answer to the question.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Nick.
If you have a question for us, we do want to hear from you on Twitter at Flame On Podcast, at Flame On Brian, and at Joshua. What's your
Joshua Yale?
There it is.
My name.
So excited.
We'll have links to all this in the.
We need to do
show notes.
Of course, there'll be links, but we need to have like all because I want people to be able to tweet at Eric and harass him.
Who, me?
Yeah,
I'm not on the Twitter.
You should be. It's fun. Thank you, Diane Rehm.
Let's check what's going on the Twitter.
Oh my God. Every time
so bad. I'm just waiting for her to die so we can free up 2 hours on NPR.
She's immortal.
Just for one question.
She is good. You leave
no,
her alone.
No,
she's
not.
So, comics. We do have a special treat coming up. It is a special interview with the creators of Captain
Ultimate.
Good. I didn't mess it up. Joshua's friends who did the comic that is coming out from Monkey Brain or is out. Is it out? Or
it is out. Yes, it launched at San Diego. On Monkey Brain Digital.
So we are interviewing them. And we're going to do that here in just a minute after we talk a little bit about some of the comic news because I wanted to sandwich it in with the indie stuff.
Sure.
So news-wise, I had no idea about this most popular superhero on YouTube thing. Take it away.
YouTube just had Geek Week, where they exposed the masses to crazy things like superheroes and video games that they're not
used
to
podcasts,
seeing. Yeah. And, well, I just thought it was funny. Well, who do you think is the number one most popular?
Batman.
Yes. Okay, now who's number two?
Superman.
No.
Wolverine.
No.
Deadpool.
No. You ready for
it? The Wasp.
What? Wasp?
No, it's not the fucking Wasp. It'll never be the fucking Wasp.
I'm sorry. I love the Wasp.
What are you trying to do?
Dazzler.
Janet Van Dyne can rot in hell.
Trying to set Orl off on a tizzy.
Dazzler.
Oh,
no, it's Thor.
Oh,
Thor. That makes sense.
Which I think it's because
it's YouTube, not XTube, right?
I think it's actually because of
I've never searched for that on XTube.
You should try.
It's because of Pinterest.
I think it's actually because of Loki.
Because of Loki.
He has a huge, like, rabid fan base, like, all fangirls and
really?
Stuff. I'm pretty sure it's a bunch of girls making, like,
Pinterest
videos. Yeah.
Loki can get it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Call back from dinner.
I just thought that was funny. Yeah.
So, that is interesting. I didn't know about the Thor thing, but I want to look up Thor.
Well, actually,
now.
You know, for years, when a soldier dies or is killed in combat, you know, the government will pay for their, like, funeral.
Yeah.
And a lot of soldiers have tried to get Mjolnir on their tombstones, and the government wouldn't allow it because it's, like, pagan, but now they've opened up, and now you can get Mjolnir on your tombstone.
Sweet. And Marvel's not suing them. That's good. That's encouraging.
You can't sue for that.
I don't know.
Does
Marvel
own the concept of Mjolnir?
Hey, listen.
Or as Kat Dennings calls
they're
it.
They're owned by Disney. Come
meow,
on.
Meow.
Disney has they've appropriated all these folk things and made them their own.
You can't own mythology.
You can if you make it your own. That's how they enforce
it. If you have a strong enough lawyer base.
Yes.
And well, they have a mouse, so.
So, I had heard this on Word Balloon, and I was very sad to read the, I think it was Word Balloon. Matt Fraction is he leaving FF and Fantastic Four, or just like giving, I think he's giving co-writing credits to Mike Allred.
He is.
For FF. So I don't know what he's doing for Fantastic Four.
Someone was credited with him on Fantastic Four, and because he pretty much plotted out the next story arc or so, he will get writing credit for like another 5 or 6 issues, but after that, he's out.
You know,
which, thank
is?
God, because this Fantastic Four is horrible.
Yeah, I haven't been following that. I love his FF, but who's the guy, do you know?
I can't remember. That's somebody who I'd never heard of us.
All right.
Whatever.
That is kind of sad, because I really, like, the only reason I'm even reading either of those books is because of him.
But,
so.
Yeah, because that was a
and
big launching point for Marvel now, and now he's off the books already.
Well, it's been
a while.
A year.
Almost a year.
But that's hardly, like, you'd never be like, oh, Matt Fraction.
Not for Fantastic Four at that. It's been a year.
It's been a year. Okay.
Like, that's not a substantial
and
run.
Are they still lost in time?
They're not even lost yet. They just haven't come back.
That's a long 4 minutes.
Yeah, but Reed's just doing whatever, bouncing back before.
Yeah, as it reads back and forth. That's...
Yeah, but they're not lost.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's sort of the tragedy of the thing of the title is that he was playing this really long-term thing with like crazy Johnny Storm coming back or whatever that was, and we don't get to see his vision. Like,
well, supposedly the crazy finished. Old Johnny thing is going to be played out a little bit. And the other thing, I didn't know this, he was talking to Suntress about this on Word Balloon. He has been basing each issue of FF off of the original Fantastic Four. So if you go back, you can actually follow like issue 6 of both series, and they have like the same monster.
So right.
See, that explains why I've been bored to tears.
FF is awesome.
FF is
no, because Impossible. Can't tell you that.
That's the same thing he said. Oh, if you're an astute Fantastic Four, you'll know Impossible Man is going to be coming up.
Yeah, and so like I understand it, but he's going to be writing. He's going to be a part of the Inhumanity event, and he's going to be writing Inhumanity.
Is Inhumanity
that I'm excited
an event?
About.
That is an event. It's not.
It's
just
an
a,
event.
Okay.
And then after that, we'll start the series.
Okay.
It's an event that spins out of an event,
which is I know
starts
it's coming
the series
right
of the event.
Yeah. So we know what happens at the end of Infinity, pretty
so,
much.
So speaking of events and. Especially maybe tying into that time frame, the Ultimate Universe Cataclysm is happening.
I think the Ultimate Universe is going bye-bye.
Well,
that's what everyone is saying.
Bye-bye.
But
you got Dark Phoenix running around, and you got Galactus running around.
Wait, Dark Phoenix?
Bye-bye.
Well,
really?
Have you been reading Brian Wood?
No.
I don't, and I scanned it, and oh my God, she is fucking crazy. Yeah.
She has been, and
she's all Phoenix-y and everything.
Yeah. I can say this because I'm a gay man who's black. She has been a cunt for the past like 6, 7, 12 issues.
Wow.
She is awful.
She's crazy.
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with like them being different from their regular Marvel counterparts as long as they explain it, and that's the one big hang-up I have on that. So I have no idea idea why she's acting like this.
Yeah.
I asked Brian Wood on Twitter, and he's like, well, I'm going to explain that, but here's a hint that, you know, power corrupts.
And,
I was like, well,
and what happened to Phoenix, the Dark Phoenix?
That doesn't help. That's
played out. That's kind of boring. Well,
we'll see what happens.
They are going to keep Miles. Well, there's no
X-Men
way.
Are coming to like a big...
I think it would
they have World War X going on right now, and then Hunger.
Yeah.
You guys reading that?
But Miles has got to survive, because Miles is too amazing of a creation. Which is hilarious, because, I mean, for so long, like, Miles is a fairly recent thing to come out of the Ultimate Universe, right?
Probably one of the best things to come out of it.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, that'll happen.
I think it would be nice to see Phoenix versus Galactus.
Yeah.
You think it'll go that way?
No, it won't.
I mean, on the teasers, it's got, like, Miles on, like, the street, like, kind of running away from Galactus, tearing through the universe. And I'm like, I'm not sure what Miles is going to do. That's
the whip.
So, let's do our interview now. We'll have that, and we'll be right back.
And we're sitting down with Joey Esposito and Benjamin Bailey, the writers of Captain Ultimate, which is just released at the time of Comic-Con on Monkey Brain, the digital first publisher.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
And I'm also joined here by Brian, and we wanted to hear about your new book.
It's great.
Well, there you go.
What's the elevator pitch?
I'll let Ben do the elevator pitch. He's better than I am.
It's an all ages superhero adventure story, you know, with kind of a classic feel, a hark back to a simpler times when good guys were good and the bad guys were bad.
So I've read it just recently. It definitely seems like you guys have a bit of a sort of a commentary. It's all ages accessible, but you have a little bit of a commentary on comic books in the last few years. Where are you guys going from that? Is that part of your agenda?
He's talking about the Rob Liefeld nod. We'll call it a nod.
There was that, and then what's the little superhero team? It's not the Avengers, but they're like the something Revengers.
Super Revenging Society.
That was a nice mashup.
I don't know if it's a commentary. I mean, I guess to some degree it is, because there's the stuff with, you know, the market value of variant covers, whatever we say. I think it's more of just sort of a nod or homage. Like you mentioned the Liefeld panel, and that's not meant to be malicious or anything. It's just sort of a nod to an era of comics that, like it or not, is extremely important.
Just like the nod to the Sin City noirish thing. And
well, Captain Ultimate's he's like a golden age superhero that is returning to a world that's all but forgotten him. And the idea is that the heroes that have kind of taken his place in his absence are a little grimmer, a little grittier, a little more angst. You find out in the second issue that their base is called like the Fortress of Attitude. And and it's not necessarily, I mean, we love that kind of stuff too. We love, you know, the dark and gritty books, but it seems like in embracing that so much, the industry has kind of forgot about the more lighthearted and the superheroes, you know, of the golden age. Like I said before, the ones that are good because it's the right thing to do. They don't necessarily have this deep, horrific tragedy. And we kind of wanted to embrace that and make a guy who was just a flat out good guy. And what would happen to a world like the world of comics we have now if a guy like that came back and was doing the right thing and just being a stand-up guy instead of worrying about his book deal or his movie deals or looking like a total badass the whole time?
Well, you can't help but look like a total badass with that mustache, right?
Oh my god, the stash is awesome.
That's on purpose.
we didn't give a ton of notes to our artist boy, the amazing boy, but one of the essential ones was like he has to have a mustache. And he sent us like 15 character designs that are all different mustaches. Like same character, just different mustaches. It was an important part of the process.
It really was. Like we nailed down the color scheme and the style of his costume and the domino mask first, and the hairstyle I think was first. Then after that, like the second round of character design was mustache.
Just like weeks and weeks of mustache development.
Very laborious process.
So you guys co-wrote this. What talk about your process? Do you guys like have a Google Doc, or you go back and forth, or did like you just guys come up with this together and just kind of bang out the whole outline and then split it up, or how'd you guys do this?
Yeah, it's pretty natural. We do exactly what we're doing right now. We get on Skype and we talk about the issue and what we want, and we just make each other laugh and come up with crazy ideas, and we build them into a Google document, and then we kind of split the pages from there and write them, and then we go back and kind of edit edited it together. And it gets to a point where, you know, the first issue we wrote months ago and we're rereading it. And I, at one point I was like, Joey, that is such a great line you wrote. And he's like, you wrote that. Like, we don't even remember who writes what. Nice. It's just kind of such a merged process, which I think makes it better. You know, it starts off, the pages each of us write are good, but once we click together and start really collaborating, it gets even better.
Yeah, there's sort of like a couple of different levels. Like Ben said, we'll beat out the issue page by page, split those up. But then I think when it really comes together is that first time we go through it together and really look over it and make sure, you know, the story lines up and stuff. Like if he wrote page 5 and then I'm taking over on page 6, like just to make sure that transition is natural. But then even once again, like once we have Boy's art back and we have to go back through, because like if it's an action scene or something, Boy likes to have the freedom to, like, we'll just write pages 8 to 10 are an action scene here and this needs to happen on page 10 and, you know, do whatever you want in between. He likes to have that freedom, but then as a result, when we get the pages back, we have to go back in and fill in, you know, sound effects, banter or whatever. So like the multiple time process, I think, helps us sort of remove ourselves after each step. So when we go back, we'll see new things or new opportunities to, you know, add in a little character moment or whatever. So it's really cool.
Yeah. At the time of the launch, when you guys announced it at San Diego Comic-Con, you guys had a lot of initial press and what I saw, a lot of positive feedback, and the numbers showed that, because you said you were top 100 on Comixology. Was that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the third day in, we I think we peaked at like number 88, which doesn't sound that high, but when you consider it's a kid's book, an all ages book by, you know, two unknown creators featuring an unknown character, and we were sandwiched right in between like a Wolverine book and a Hulk book, like we were ecstatic. Like I never thought it would go that high.
No, that's exciting. And I mean, you guys are being distributed by Monkey Brain.
Yeah.
And I mean, they are such a nice up and coming creator, publisher that is awesome that they have good, unique creator talent like you guys doing things that are not your average thing coming out of the big two to differentiate you guys from the rest of the herd, you know?
Yeah, they're willing to, what's great about them is that they don't have a tone or a genre, any kind of standard of what they put out. Like their only standard is something that they're proud of and want to keep reading. So they've got dark noir stuff. They've got Western revenge stories. They've got our book, an all ages book. They have really bizarre superhero things. I mean, they just put out the stuff that they're interested in. And I think digital really allows them to do that.
And they cleaned up at the Eisners with Bandette, which is my second favorite, I mean, Monkey Brain comic.
Yeah. I was ready to jump on you for that. No, but I mean, and I think that shows the quality of the work. I think, I mean, Bandette they launched with, you know, and right away it was like, that was the book that I think everyone was like, okay, like not to take anything away from the other books, because I really do love everything they put out, but Bandette was just like the one that was like, all right, this is serious business. I think their win at the Eisner's shows that. And, you know, it was, I think they won, what, best digital or best online comic or something. But I think the fact that they were nominated just for best new series or whatever it was, you know, the award that doesn't have anything to do with like, oh, well, it's specifically digital.
Right.
You know,
alongside, I think, Saga that, and Hawkeye.
Right. I think that speaks volumes for the quality of the work they're putting out, and also for how quickly digital is progressing into the sort of mainstream of comics.
Yeah, for sure. And
they're the publisher, I think, that's really doing digital right. There's a handful of digital only publishers. Monkey Brain, like everything from the price point to the page count, like they're really conscious of it. You know, for us, it's an all ages book, and we wanted people to be able to feel comfortable just, you know, buying it for their kid or something, or buying it for themselves. So that 99-cent entry point was perfect for us. We felt like that's exactly what our book needed to get people to take it.
Talk about your artist. Like, what'd you say his name's Roy?
Boy.
A boy. His name is
his
Boy?
Boy Ackerman.
Oh, Boy Ackerman.
Where is he from?
He lives in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we actually met him through, well, he used to send it, well, he listens to our podcast on IGN Assemble, and he used to send in cartoons of, like, the hosts and stuff as cartoons. And so he would send in, like, fan art or whatever. And so we started being in touch to that degree. And then when I was putting together the Positive Comics anthology that we're still working on, the anti-bullying anthology, I, you know, asked him if he wanted to be a part of it, and he did. And they did a story with another one of our writers, and it turned out great. And that was sort of what, after seeing his sequential work, when Ben and I were looking for an artist for Captain Ultimate, I think that was the first thing I brought up. I showed Ben. Ben liked it, and then we approached him, and he was down, and that was it.
There is a little bit of a cultural barrier sometimes. Like when we told him we wanted Captain Ultimate to have a Ron Swanson mustache, he had no idea what we were talking about. Like. He had to like go to Google and look up the character. So sometimes there's references and stuff that that we throw into the script, and he's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But hey, there's the internet there's now.
There's this stuff that we're doing. Oh, boy, did it, actually. But he sent us a bunch of pages from issue one with, like, little Easter egg things, like pop-up video style, you know, of, like, just cool little references or, like, cameos or whatever that are in the book. And there's one of the page where the giant robot octopus alien monster is smacking Captain Ultimate against the fire truck, and he points to the American flag, and it's just like, boy, has no idea what an American flag looks like.
Aww. It looks nothing like the American flag. And I didn't even notice till he said that, where he was like, yeah, I clearly have no idea how to draw the American flag.
But you get the idea. I mean, it's red, white, and blue, and there's stripes and a star on it. Like,
I think it has like a star.
A star. Yeah. The old school flag.
Yeah. I did like the giant robo mecha Cthulhu. That was pretty
Thank
awesome.
You. That was it in the script from day one when Ben first, when we first started talking about the idea, and Ben showed me some stuff he had. And he'll be back.
Oh,
in a good capacity you might not expect.
Ooh, nice. Exclusive. No, I know you guys have been doing a lot of press for this, a lot of podcasts and interviews on different websites and stuff. I want some like exclusive, some breaking news that we can feature on Flame On. On
next week, as in the, let me look at the calendar, the week of the 26th,
uh-huh,
can look for something brand new Captain Ultimate related that is not issue 2. Something different.
It'll be launching early, probably Monday or Tuesday.
That's exciting. I like it. Branching out to other media, maybe?
Maybe, yeah.
Never know.
Uh-oh.
Is Captain Ultimate an ongoing, or is it a limited, or what are you guys doing?
It's ongoing.
Okay.
The plan was to be monthly. That hasn't worked out yet, which I guess we should have expected just between the three of us and just our regular workload, and especially boy, like, you know, drawing definitely takes a toll and takes a while.
And there's publisher schedule, things we didn't think about. We thought we're the only people in the world.
Right,
so we're like, here's the comic, release it next week. And they're like, that doesn't fit our publishing schedule, guys. And we're like, yeah, oh, right, there's other
you
other
do have 20, 29 other books, I forgot. Yeah. And also, you know, the in terms of digital, like even Comixology, like it needs time to work in the guided view stuff. So the schedule, we're a little bit behind than what we expected, but the next issue will be out in September. It's all completely done and stuff and ready to go. It's 20 pages of story plus some, a lot of back matter stuff for a buck. So totally worth the wait. And then from there on out, we should be on a more regular schedule.
It's a great
ongoing. Yeah. We've got a lot of plans, whether we get to them all. We hope we do, because the cast has gotten massive. Just by the third issue, you see that the cast's huge, and we have a lot of stories we want to tell with it. And we just get new ideas that we keep plugging in. So hopefully it'll be ongoing for a long time.
It's a great story. It's a great deal for a dollar. I mean, and great content for, it's kind of like the Pixar model where you've got stuff that the older readers will pick up on, but then you've got just a really nice, sincere, I'm not going to say cute, but definitely more of a cartoony style story, you know, for mm-hmm. all ages.
Yeah, for anybody. Anybody yeah. would like this. So yeah,
no,
well, that's Captain Ultimate. And so where else can people find you on the internet, or any work you've done that you want to tell them about?
Well, for Captain Ultimate, we have a sweet little blog that we made. It's just CaptainUltimate.wordpress.com. And you can find bios of all the characters that'll be updated, you know, like issue 2 debuts a bunch of new characters, so you'll, you know, when that comes out, we'll have the new bios up for them. It also has behind the scenes process stuff, and you know, any reviews or interviews that we do will all go up there. And then for myself, joeyesposito.com, or on Twitter at joeyesposito.
I would suggest if like you read this with a kid and the kid likes it, to not follow me or Joey on Twitter. If you are a grown person and an adult, then that's fine.
Well, I think Joey's is pretty all ages, although yours is like Matt Fraction level.
Oh wow.
I'm not that bad.
Ooh.
Matt Fraction is like a portal to another world. Like, I feel like if you can understand his Twitter, you could like unlock the secrets of the universe.
Yep. Delightfully
it's buried there.
Yeah.
But mine's at 616 Earth Nerd Bomber.
Nice.
On the Twitters there.
Cool, guys. Well, great. Thanks for talking to us. Captain Ultimate, published by Monkey Brain, available on monkeybrain.com and Comixology as well.
If you do it through the Comixology site, because the whole thing with Apple and iTunes, Apple takes
a big
slice.
Oh, yeah. I always want to give the creator the biggest cut I can, so I always ask where it's best to buy
you
it.
You want to get us that extra 7 cents or whatever, and head to Comixology.
I'll take it.
Because you guys are clearly in this for the money, so we need to help you out. That's
obviously.
What,
yeah.
Because if you want to make a lot of money quickly, obviously you go into comics.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And all ages comics. AMC is knocking down our door.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much. All right,
thanks for having us.
No problem. Take it easy, guys.
So, other indie books that have come out, like,
oh my god, I just had an awesome comic book idea where you and I, Eric, reenact Quantum Leap. Let's do that.
Shut the front door.
Oh my god,
hilarious. Who gets to be Al?
I
or
do.
Are both of you jumping around?
No, I get to be Al, and I just go.
Oh,
back
I like you. Tell
Eric's
me what to
time.
Do.
It's his own timeline. It's his own timeline because he's living.
Eric, sleep with him. I don't want to sleep with him all. Sleep with him.
And then I hit my console. It's like, no, it's an 86% probability that you're supposed to sleep with him tonight.
Can you do that for Halloween this year, please? I'd love to see that.
That'd be awesome.
So, Trillium, let me just say that I love Jeff Lemire. I think he's great. I did not care for this book whatsoever.
Really?
I am with you.
You don't like Jeff Lemire's art.
I gimmick.
Yeah, it's his
and
art.
And actually, this is the best
fan.
His art's ever looked. His art really? Is very clean and very nice, given his style. But I don't know if it's the gimmick of the flip book versus just the sort of slow... I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I'm just not that interested. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
I had the opposite reaction, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I actually think his art... This is kind of loose... For his artwork, his best is probably what's the one with the kid with the animal?
Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth. I thought that was his best looking work because he was held to a higher standard, I think, because that was one of his first books. And then now that he's become big, he can kind of do what he wants and have a lot of artistic freedom. What was the one with the
underwater
welder? That was complete. That was like a sketchbook.
Yeah.
It was good. It was beautiful, but it was more just a sketchbook. No coloring or inking or anything really. Actually, there may have been inking, but I don't know. And then in this one, I feel like again it's like Jeff Lemire's style to have everything be a little free. And you can see he just did like a little squiggle with his pencil on the page
and
didn't like embellish any of the details.
The way it's colored, it's actually different from the past to the future.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Very distinct style.
He's one of the colorists on it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's like co-coloring or something. But I mean, so visually, I think the book works very well.
Yeah.
But I guess the story just, you know, I've seen this before and I don't know where. The whole, oh, they're
the love. Fountain?
Yeah, is it sort of like The Fountain?
Well, I don't know. I never read it or watched
that's
it.
That's what everybody said.
There was something else, too, though, like this. Where it was like time travel, you know, they meet. I don't know.
I really enjoy. I read. Which one did you read first? The astronaut or the soldier?
The astronaut.
Because you could read it the other way, and it'd be a different story.
Yeah, exactly.
But I read The Astronaut first. I really liked the idea of like the universe is running out of space and out of resources, and there's something coming to like kill everybody. So,
yeah,
like,
that
there's
plague.
Thousands of humans left, and you know it's really just like the end of humankind. And then she goes and is on like this weird sort of spiritual but also scientific mission.
Yeah,
and
that was weird.
Comes across the temple, walks through it, and then she comes around the corner, and then you flip and read the soldier one,
right.
And it's this like tormented man by the war and. His story wasn't as good as the astronaut
one. You know, that might be what it was then. I did enjoy the future one more, but I finished with the one.
But I feel like forgiving that the real magic will come when, you know, when they meet together. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do?
Well,
is he going to come to the future? Is she going to show him? Or is she going to go help him with his past? Or I don't know.
That's where I'd be willing to give this book more time. Like, you know, kind of like I give Hickman a long run time to tell his story. I should do the same thing with this.
And it's a limited series,
right?
Yeah,
it's only 8 issues.
Yeah.
I like that he's doing that with Trillium, and then Scott Snyder's just doing a 10-parter with The Wake.
I love The
just,
Wake.
Yeah,
the
just
Wake.
That they're doing like kind of short stories, not committing to ongoing series that we have to like, wait forever to see the end of.
Right.
I think that's good.
What about Collider? I didn't read this.
I love Collider.
Collider is
very
fun.
Colorful.
Which has already been renamed.
So good.
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
FBP.
Why?
Federal Bureau of Physics. Because apparently Collider was already taken.
Ooh.
And they pretty much got a cease and desist.
So that means that first issue...
The next two issues are still going to be called Collider.
Okay.
And the writer wasn't a fan of having to change his name, but he's happy with the name he has now. That's a lie, because it's terrible.
I actually think Bureau of Physics is a little more true to the story, though, right? It's like more about what it is. I mean,
no,
it's
that's sort of a better selling point.
Right. BPRD sort of, but
Collider, you sort of have to think about it.
Collider.
You know. It's a little cheesy, I'll admit.
Who's the writer? I don't remember.
I don't know, but he's really good.
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. The art was beautiful, too. It was sort of like
fun.
A throwback to like Aeon Flux.
I thought it was kind of a slow start. I didn't like jump up and grab me, but I'm very interested in the world that he's
playing. I want to know like why is this happening?
It's like Ghostbusters with physics.
I like that. That's good. That's good analysis. What about Wild Blue Yonder? I didn't read this.
There's only two issues up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
The art is off.
Is this another Image or what is
no.
it?
No, I think it's is
it
IDW.
I think it is. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Think Rocketeer gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Oh, God.
It's really fun. People, if you're living on the ground, it's just pretty much a barren wasteland.
Oh.
And everyone has taken to the skies if you're lucky. But like natural resources are dwindling. And there's this one ship called the Dawn, which is powered by like solar panels. And it's
so in the
cool.
future, we actually did get rocket packs in this universe.
Yes. But
fucking finally, someday.
Unlike the Rocketeer that seemed to just go on forever.
Yeah.
You got maybe like 20 minutes worth of fuel in your jetpack. And that's, you know, controlled burst of like, I'm going to arc an angle and hope I'm going
to
land.
I played that game. That was
as
fun.
There's like other planes, like dogfighting in the air, and you have to like hang onto the plane and then, you know, go and land on it, let go, then spurt off to an enemy plane. This guy has like a hatchet and he's just like, you know.
What the hell?
It's really good.
That's not, that art must be really good then, because to realize that, that'd be really tough, you know.
The art is spectacular.
I'll have to check that out. Now, thanks to Joshua for his recommendation, Burn the Orphanage was
surprise hit.
Fantastic. And I loved it for many reasons, but probably the most important is the fact that there was a bear. And a actual
grizzly
prototype bear.
Polar.
No.
Brown.
Grizzly?
No, for those that don't know, Burn the Orphanage is, it's a tribute to
Joshua's old life.
Yes.
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage, Street Fighter, Double Dragon, those sort of video games where the hero is like this sort of
high
stereotypical high testosterone white male with blonde hair and a red
bandana.
A bandana around his head.
Like you used to wear.
Yeah, when I used to wear when I was a little kid.
adorable.
Bring it up.
When I was a little gay boy. Actually, that was more Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat who also had that same look. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great, and it's just completely ridiculous and awesome. And there's a bear, gay bear man with a beard, who he was cruising, which isn't the best thing for gay people, but hey,
it happens. Okay,
it happens. A gay bear guy who was shot in the heart and had his heart replaced with that of a bear.
I love it.
Come on, guys.
It was my jam.
Sounds like Hocus Pocus Deadpool bullshit.
That is the most badass gay character.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
What is kind of weird is it's a one-off story, and this series is not so much a series as a, they're going to do another like conceptual,
like three of them.
Video game inspired thing. So, yeah. I definitely recommend it. That was that image?
I think so, yeah.
But yeah, actually, I would be interested in having the creators on. I think that would be kind of interesting. Like,
yeah.
Like, he said it's drawn from his own life experiences, like his group of friends.
Where
all
he beat up people and then a pork tenderloin fell out. And he used it for help?
No, he punched a trash can and there was a freshly baked turkey in there.
That doesn't happen in the comic, but it would be awesome if it did.
Seriously. And then The Bunker. I didn't read this. Who read the
By book? Joshua Hale Fieldcoff.
Oh, Mr. Hale.
Rising Star.
Fieldcoff, yes. How's this?
It's really good. Well, he made this teaser website. It was just like a clock ticking down to like open the bunker, and it was just awesome. Like, people don't do that to read their comics anymore. It's like, oh, going on all these podcasts and put all this preview art up and like spam all this stuff, but it was like, no, he just put up this website and then it became available. I think it's only digital, and it's just these like group of teenagers find a random bunker with all their names on it. It was like five of them, but only four of their names are on it, and they're like, what? And they open it and they go in and they find all this information about their future.
Oh.
And it's all of them except one, and they're just, it's just like they find out these crazy things and they all leave and their lives are literally like changed from everything they learn, because it is not a pretty future.
Yeah.
I mean, to tell you would like spoil the surprise.
Right.
You just go, if that interests you, that sort of concept.
How many issues are?
I don't know. I think
this is the first issue.
This is the first issue's out. It's so good. It's like really good.
He's really burning up the charts. I mean, he's got some good work. Marvel and DC.
Yeah, and his indie stuff, Tumor, his Echoes is one of my favorites.
Yeah,
Elk's Run.
I'm excited. I'll have to check that out. And then, of course, the obligatory Brian K. Vaughan and Fiona Staples Saga has returned.
Oh, finally.
Did you like take like a month or two break? What was the?
Like three, 4 months.
No, it was the skip month, the graphic novel, the skip month, and now it came out.
Ah, yes.
Okay. So I just saw the cover, which looked adorable too. Yeah. By the way, little baby, and then the turtle guy. Is that his? Who that was?
Some kind like of the Cyclops.
No, he's a Cyclops.
Oh, he's a Cyclops. Okay.
The Cyclops wasn't in it though, was he?
Yeah.
So
yeah, he was in it.
Yeah. Sorry.
So is this still amazing?
Come back
Everybody
to get your advance.
Everybody loves this still. It's really good.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. It's fun.
Yeah.
This issue wasn't my favorite. Not a lot really happened.
Yeah.
But it was still fun to read. Cool. It always is.
I really like the reporter. The reporter's super cute.
They're like an eye or something. What's the deal with the reporter? I just heard a little
bit. Like he's like tabloid guy. Reporter.
Yeah.
Then he's blue. Well, I'd say he's more aquamarine.
Hmm.
But it's just, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
The writer is a Cyclops.
Oh, the writer. Okay.
And then they actually put down roots. Like, it's just, it's fun. Like, not every issue has to be action-packed.
Yeah, no, no. It's, someone said, and this is true, when I've read Vaughn, I've typically read him in trade because his stuff has just a long arc, and, you know, sometimes that doesn't make for the most exciting issue-by-issue comic. So, I think...
But his characters are, like, so they feel, like, really real people, yeah. And they're, like, really endearing.
But fantastic in their own way, like, just out there. Cool. Any other indie stuff? I was going to mention East to West because it's still awesome, but that's all. It's awesome. And Manhattan Project, of course, is still great. Satellite Sam. I did want to mention that real quick. I think
I've been choking it down.
You don't like...
I want to like Satellite Sam. Yeah. I do.
The man titties? All the women look like men.
Because, like, little known fact about me, when I worked at my old job, I used to listen to all of these, like, old radio, like, programs, the sci-fi ones.
Right.
And so... Satellite Sam should have been right up my alley, but it's boring as fuck.
It's a slow burn, and
not a slow burn. It's a smoldering.
So I think the big thing about it is it's if you like Chaykin's art and you really can just appreciate that. I think that kind of carries me through it. Plus, I'm fascinated by television, like early television.
So am
really
I. I'm telling you, all of the elements are there for this to be a good, interesting book.
Yeah,
and it's boring as fuck.
It's no Black Kiss, but it's okay.
Oh, there you go.
Vagina monica.
Moving on to our friends at DC. We have the big event, the Trinity War, going on.
You mean the big event that's setting up the big event?
Yes. Uh-huh. The big event before the big event, like Marvel has the big event before their big event. I have read all four. I have not read any of the tie-ins. I'm not that excited. It's kind of feeling like, oh, let's mix and match. All right, we're going to go here, and you're going to go here, and we're not going to fight now, but we'll probably fight next issue, but we're going to go talk to this guy.
I'm Wonder Woman. Follow me.
I'm Batman. Follow me.
I don't know. I don't think it's event fatigue because we'll get to Infinity, and I loved Infinity, but I just don't. Not loving this.
You know, here's the thing.
It's okay.
When you're reading it, there's a lot of fun things that are happening on the page.
Yeah.
But if you ask me what it's about, that's where I'm lost.
All I remember from the last issue I read is Wonder Woman's tiara has an eyeball on instead of a star. That honestly, that's all I remember from that issue.
And I didn't dig that big twist at the end of Wonder Woman grabbing the box because didn't Superman grab the box? Haven't we already seen this before?
Yeah. So I guess, but you know, it's like they're all supposed to disappear after this, right?
Well,
that's what Forever Evil is going to be.
Yeah, but I think that may not be so much.
Dark Reign? No, Forever Evil. That's
Forever Evil.
Did you guys see the spoiler for what Forever Evil is?
No.
We all know.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. Well, you should go ahead.
It's like the Earth 3,
Ultraman.
The crime syndicate. Yeah.
They're going to show up and whatever rule the world, and all our villains are going to have to, I don't know, become the heroes or just see if
they can something happens and takes ours off the table. Yeah, but what's happening with Nightwing? That's the big question everybody wants to know because they've shown him with like blood on his
head. Someone start playing taps.
I don't want them to kill Nightwing.
They're not going
to
kill Nightwing.
I heard his book is really good and I need to actually think about picking it up.
I haven't read a single issue.
I read the first arc.
Well, Batman Rest in Peace, according to Grant Morrison, was supposed to be the death of Nightwing. It wasn't supposed to be Batman. And then something went down editorial and they changed it to Batman.
Dio he's wanted Nightwing killed forever. Like he has
But he's very popular, I thought. People like him.
But
the ladies
Jason
love
Todd,
him.
I think, has taken over the popularity.
Really? Yeah. Remember he used to be so reviled? He's actually made a pretty good comeback when you think about it.
They've softened his edges and all that.
Yeah. So I think he is the bigger one than Nightwing. And if you take Dick Grayson out of the situation, I think he would have more playtime.
Yeah.
But Dick, I really like.
Yeah, I know you
do. Yes, of course.
We all got that in my mouth.
Does anyone else want to?
Sorry.
I don't disagree with you.
Penis. he's one of the few characters in comics who has changed and has a character arc. He started as Robin. He found his own identity as Nightwing. Yep. And he took the mantle of his teacher and became Batman.
And it was
you don't
good,
see that in comics. It was
and then he got demoted.
Good. Yeah, you're right. Now he's demoted.
Nightwing again.
You're totally right. And he was forced to wear a different color. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that's unique in comics. I've always loved that about him.
I hope they don't kill him. So, Batman Year Zero, or Zero Year, whatever. This issue, last one we read, showed the infamous Batman looking at the bust of his father, seeing the, I guess now it's a holographic bat, and...
No, it's a real bat.
I thought the whole thing was a holographic projection.
No, that's the thing.
That was real?
Yeah, so that scene... Okay, so what happens is Bruce's dad gives him this, like, holographic recording thingy, and he dips it into the cave, and then he plays it years later. later, and it shows him the cave. He's like, oh, okay, Father, I now understand what I must become. And you see all of these, like, recorded image of holographic bats flying at him. Mm-hmm. The recorder falls off the table and shatters, and there's left on the bust is a bat. That's what he actually saw.
Okay.
I didn't follow that to why that meant he must become a bat, just because he's randomly
saw a
bat.
Well, he was fucked up.
Because there's been no bat imagery or anything or reasoning to become a bat. He just saw... What if that had been a cockroach?
I guess this would go back to the answering Nick's question of how fucked up Bruce Wayne is.
Well, and there was no... Scott Snyder didn't put in any reasoning for it. Well, he was like, I will become a bat.
It's not reason. That's the thing. There's no reason as much as just... He is in a mentally disturbed state after his apartment was destroyed by the Red Hood gang. He's doped up on God knows what pain meds to try to get him through all these terrible injuries. I mean, Capullo did a good job of depicting a really fucked up looking Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And he's just in a weird state where he's devastated because of all the shit that happened and all the pain meds, and now he's seeing this thing, and it's inspiring him. So, I mean, it works.
It was just so random.
Right, but it's the way it was told. I think the art in that part could have been a little clearer about what was going on, because I knew when I first read it.
What? You saw it. End table? Holographic ball. Holographic ball falls on the floor.
It's the concept of a hologram. All that was a little out there compared to what I know. So that was just kind of... That's where I think I was just a little confused. But I get it, and I like it, and it's kind of cool. What I really want to know is, who is the Red Hood guy? Like, who is that?
Joker.
You don't think it's the Joker?
I'm going to assume it's the Joker.
We all assume it's the Joker, but is that who it is or not? And if so, the fact that he became the Joker because of Batman's parents' murder, like, that inspired him... That's fucked up and kind of interesting, you know?
No, yeah. I can say I'm loving Zero Year, but I'm just interested to see where it goes.
And then how does the city turn into the ruins that they showed in that one thing?
In the beginning?
Yeah, that's crazy, too.
It's like probably Poison Ivy.
Well, isn't she supposed to show up next
year? Yeah, she's going
to
show up.
So, I mean, there's a lot
of
really...
There's three, like, chapters of it, and there's, like, this one, I think, is over. The next one is, like, Gotham in Blackness, and, like, it's changing or whatever. Just, like, Bruce Wayne's bones are resetting, and then it's, like, grown to something new with the green... chapter.
I'm really loving it. It's really good. What about anybody read Swamp Thing and the Whiskey Tree?
Yeah. Yes, I did. I loved it.
God, so good.
Yeah.
I totally just poo-pooed on Swamp Thing, and then you guys were saying, oh, no, check it out. It's good. And damn.
Charles
doing an amazing job. I love his characterization of Constantine.
Yeah.
Such... Like, that's Constantine. Like, I don't know that the Justice League Dark Constantine has been very good, and I haven't been reading Constantine as a book.
Constantine as a book is fine.
Yeah. But this was excellent.
And him in Justice League Dark is pretty accurate.
He's
not,
dick.
I mean.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Yeah.
He's a dick. Period.
It's not holding Hellblazer as this, tome of this is what we are and that's all we are, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But I really like Swamp Thing. I've liked it. I've always liked it. Liked it when Charles Soule took over. I think it's still very strong. P.S. Raphael Albuquerque, who does the art for American Vampire, is taking over for the regular artist for Animal Man starting in October for issue 24.
I need to pick up the ones
I've
missed.
Yeah.
I love Animal Man, and I've been missing them for some. I saw
some of the pages today.
Albuquerque's
gorgeous.
Awesome. Albuquerque's amazing.
Gorgeous.
I'm excited now. Green Lantern books. I admit, and I love Robert Venditti. I think he's fantastic. I just do not care right now about anything with Green Lantern.
Okay.
I'm not dropping it. I want to see what they do with Relic. That idea, that whole thing, like the Green Lantern, the Green Corps, is that where they met him first?
Yeah.
The new Guardians.
The more I see of him, the more I'm really interested.
Yeah. So I'm going to let it play out, but I'm just, I don't know.
A lot of villains have been very dime a dozen with the new 52, but this one seems to have a lot going on for him. He seems very... Like, he comes out of that gross anomaly cyst thing and just starts experimenting on everything. He's like, oh, like Kyle. And he starts like, dude,
you mean Galactus?
Weird. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's Galactus. Kind of. Galactus had this, you survived the crunch, the big crunch, came out of this egg thingy, has this apparatus. It's Galactus.
But he's very different from Galactus, to where he's not out to eat planets
and stuff.
No,
he's not.
He's like Galactus
the serial
killer.
He's more articulate and more, like, personal.
He's anorexic.
I don't know. And he calls the lanterns light.
He's the Karen Carpenter Galactus. Yeah. Is that what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay, I love it.
I really like it. And the last issue of Green Lantern, I just love because it
really hit a lot of good notes for Hal.
Yeah.
That like kind of blew me away. He was even just like the little one-liners where Evil Star Sapphire was like belittling him or whatever, and she's like, well, you don't know the power of love, and he's like, love, I never touch this stuff. And for some reason that was just like so funny, and he had all these like great one-liners one after the other.
I will give it
not convincing and anybody now, that's what that sound was. And Red Lanterns is off the
hold
hook
hold my
is
hand okay. as we talk about the horrors that DC has brought upon our house called Villains Month.
I haven't watched Aaron's video.
My
but have you
God.
Guys seen the
it
covers?
Is awful. Well, no.
No, you don't know what
they've
done to us.
You, no. So,
oh yeah, let's hear it.
Whoa. We'll preface this. Aaron, we preface this with you guys are retailers.
Yeah.
Who work at a comic shop.
Really got retailers that work at a comic shop. And what Aaron has informed us is that DC went ahead and printed the issues before the final numbers were in from all retailers. So we are not guaranteed to get about at least half of our order.
They're allocating it based on percentages of a number that was, the way it works behind the scenes is that you do your initial order and then you do a final cutoff. Your initial order, you just order like one or two books or whatever your base is. For us, it's our subscribers.
Right.
And that's just a placeholder for when the final order comes off.
Okay.
Because you're placing those orders months in advance.
Right.
Well, DC based it off of your initial orders. Those initial orders are whatever we had for our subscribers. So if 80 people are down for Green Lantern, we got a percentage of those 80 people instead of us ordering, oh, we know this is going to sell well, let's order 100 copies of like Batman Joker.
Why did they do it this
because
way?
Because DC fucked us. That's what they did.
Aaron said it was an old school like 80s, I forget his name, has taken over
Jim Shooter?
Is it Jim Shooter?
It might
he took
be
over Marvel?
He took over all the
Diamond stuff.
No, he took over printing.
I'm trying to think what the hell is the right
term. Distribution of merchandising or whatever. Like,
so it's an old school.
Old school, and he did the numbers. How Aaron described it to me is that the numbers of, you have Detective Comics, Harley Quinn, okay? She's on the cover of that.
Yeah.
He took the numbers of people ordering Suicide Squad because that's where Harley Quinn is, not people ordering Detective Comics.
Oh.
And so the thing is, everyone, there's a huge number of people who haven't been reading Suicide Squad who are also going to want that Harley Quinn, like, one shot.
Right.
We are screwed.
Because
the
Harley Quinn one's got Darwin Cook.
Yep.
We only got a certain percentage of the 3D covers. The covers that everyone's going to want. There's, so we might get, if we ordered 100 Batman Jokers, we might get 56 of those covers. But we can order as many 2D covers as we want, regular covers at $2.99, a dollar less than all of the covers that are coming out, the 3D covers, which are all $4 books.
Right.
And they're returnable. That's all well and good, but people are going to rip us to shreds for a month.
Okay, but the only thing I was thinking about over the weekend is it's sales and marketing. That's what he's in charge
of. Yes.
But what I'm thinking about, okay, is this a marketing ploy? Is now to make these
false scarcity?
Yeah, exactly. The 3D opposed to 2D. Now if you get that, then it'll be worth money.
But see, here's the thing. That doesn't do them any good, because once they sell it, they're never going to see that money again.
Yeah.
Like, we sold it. We're selling it at $4. Because that's the cover price. We're not allowed to up the price at all.
Yeah.
After that, reselling on eBay and stuff, that'll be exponential. Uh-huh. But we got hosed. As retailers, we got hosed. So if you're listening to this and you don't get a 3D cover, please don't blame your comic book store. Like, shopkeeps, it's not our fault.
Right.
We can't promise you nothing. We can't do nothing.
I have made no bones about my love or lack thereof recently of DC. And this just goes to show you I don't know what they're doing. They're just...
I'll just say, as just sort of a comic book buyer, that I don't care about the covers, and that I'll take the cheaper, the $3 ones.
I'll just buy them digitally. Screw that.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Well, partially.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I'll buy them through the...
You can buy the... You can... All of the 52 one-shots are $2.99 if you don't get them in a 3D cover.
I'll take those.
I kind of want to see the 3D and kind of do the thing. But, all right, that's cool. That's good.
And then I'll put it down and never look at it again.
Yeah, exactly.
All my comics go on a pile on the floor anyway.
Now, let me just tell you, we're moving on to Marvel.
Oh. Infinity.
Woo. And I want to talk before we get into the meat of it. There is an alternate cover that I did not see at a comic shop, but I saw later at another store that I happened to be walking through.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what cover I'm talking about?
No.
Grumpy Cat.
Yes, no, we saw it.
Oh,
we sold out of it.
That's what happens
when you don't come on the right day, bitch.
Dude, I go on.
Shut up.
I go and get my books as early as I can. and I did not know about
it. Aaron took a while to put it out on Wednesday.
I didn't buy it, but I did appreciate it.
But it wasn't Grumpy Cat. It was just a Deadpool cat.
Yeah.
It wasn't Grumpy Cat.
It's Grumpy Cat with a... It's Grumpy Cat. It's Grumpy Cat.
But nobody cares.
No, that's what we said. It should have been Grumpy Cat.
But in the Thanos, it looked awesome. Anyway, I loved it. So let's talk about the meat of the issue. So this is the big Marvel event. So what, six issues,
yes.
Thank God. Spread out over the main
3 months.
Oh, that's a double ship or two a month.
Uh-huh.
It's got Avengers tie-ins, new Avengers tie-in, one-shot tie-ins.
Captain Marvel. But those are like loose tie-ins, like Avengers, yeah. New Avengers. Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my God.
It's the way an event should be done.
It was so good.
It's tying in things that Hickman's been building up, which we knew it would. But a delightful surprise, the Space Knights showed up.
Yep.
That cracked me. I was like, what the fuck, Rom?
I mean, but Rom wasn't there, of course, but all the other Space Knights, which I didn't remember any of them besides Rom, but and I don't know if he's a brand new, like, he just made it.
Yeah, that's what I was just like, but
it was awesome, and then they fucking killed them all.
Nope.
Icon
is one.
I really like his builders and that whole thing he's created, especially the guy, was Ex Nihilo?
Ex Nihilo, yeah.
With the horns and how there's the different brethren. Mm-hmm. They're the gardeners, I think.
Yes, they're the gardeners.
I love them, and I'm just fascinated.
Okay.
By Thanos' people.
Now, when does Black Bolt have a harem?
That's Medusa. Happened in FF.
Fantastic Four. Yeah. That's Hickman stuff.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah.
I was talking to some people, and they were just like, oh, does he? I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yep.
The universal.
I love how it was like,
ugly. He hates some of them.
Yeah, he like, loves one.
And the only one I think he really loves is Medusa, and she's the only one without the...
Oh, the tuning fork?
Lockjaw?
Unless hers is, you know.
Oh. Delicately placed for her pleasure.
Hey-o.
I love it. I love the Inhumans. I love all that.
I thought it was impressive that, you know, when it gets to his character page where it shows, these are all the players.
Right.
There's 51 characters on there, yet the whole story made perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was easy to follow. I feel like that could have been your first issue if you're a fan of Marvel, obviously, not a complete comic noob.
No.
But you come into that and you'd be like, okay, here's everything that's happening. It's the way he builds it up. Thanos smiles twice. You know, that's bad. Yeah. I feel like that was directly from the end of Avengers. He was really that. Mining that. You
I
know?
Love the creature in Black Bolt, that whole moment.
Oh, yeah.
The
Outrider.
Shit. I want to say it so bad. I don't want to give it away though.
Go ahead.
But I just love that the creature, there it is, going through Black Bolt's all his memories. Yep. And Black Bolt's like, get out of my head. I was like, oh fuck.
I was surprised it survived.
Yeah.
When he shouted when he whispered at it.
What do you think the secrets he learned were? What is hidden?
Do you see that there were like another set of kings or whatever in the past? Like that's what he when he was probing around. And I don't really know what that means, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I love this event because people have complained that Avengers is too complicated, and Avengers, like the old Avengers, Bendis's Avengers did nothing for me. Did absolutely nothing for me. Give or take a few like series or story arcs here or there, I was just underwhelmed. And this is a smart Avenger.
Because you were dead.
Yeah.
It's intricate.
Exactly.
Hickman is a big fan of some of the sci-fi I love, like Dune.
Yeah.
Intricate stories with like wheels within wheels, all these plans, all these different factions
but
coming together.
But he blueprints out everything you need to know, like the character list and the flow chart. I love the flow chart.
The flow chart was nice.
It was sort of like a movie, the way he had like a scene and then he had the pages were divided up in like sections.
Yeah.
Those white pages.
Which is what he does in Manhattan Project.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He does the Manhattan Project. He did it in some of his other indie stuff too. Which is a little gratuitous at times, especially when there's like four in the whole issue, because it's like these whole pages of just
$5
title.
Issues.
Yeah. And it's 60 pages.
Oh, yeah. White event. Now I know what white event is.
Yeah, white event. White event. So anyway, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. I
And it shows that, you know, in Trinity War, it has like three teams, three Justice Leagues, like dozens of characters. And it shows that you can have a big cast and have a big event and make it make sense.
Because they're going to definitely have to show people out in space having space battles and space fights and people back on Earth fighting Thanos. So that's going to be complicated.
And I've read Avengers and New Avengers that are upcoming. They're solid.
Yeah.
And I love the design of like the covers. It's all like black.
Yeah.
And like Thanos looks creepy for once instead of like kind of a big purple goofball.
Oh, please. I saw a little somebody posted on my wall was Hellcat versus Thanos, and Thanos was in a big helicopter that said Thanos.
Oh, is that the Scotty Young cover?
No, it was like old school comic
issue. Oh, I saw that.
She was like, that's you. You take that, Thanos. He's like,
ah.
No. I saw that. I was cracking up.
Patsy. Classic. So, another great. So, actually, I haven't read this yet. Hunger. The,
Hunger's fun.
Hunger's fun, but yeah. It's not more than that.
Super Galactus's merge and all that crazy.
Yeah, apparently in the Ultimate Universe, Rick Jones is like an omnipotent being.
He's kind of like Quasar.
Who's mentored by the Watcher.
Oh. Who's a totem.
Oh, really?
But he can't speak. It can speak through anyone else.
Is there a Silver... No, Silver Surfer showed up. We should mention that. So he's not in the Hunger thing because he broke away from Galactus again. But he does show up in the Infinite comic tie-in.
No, he shows up in the second issue.
Oh, does Hunger. He?
Yeah.
Is it the Ultimate Universe's Silver
yeah.
Surfer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But remember there were two. There was the original one, which were these weird, crazy beings. And they're like, their heads like stretched open and had all these like crazy teeth and had like,
the original
wings.
One.
Okay.
But then someone else took over and started writing and said that there's like the Silver Watchers or this Silver Watcher guy and Galactus had seen those and copied them, and so that's why they had those other Silver Surfers. Okay. Now we got a more familiar Silver Surfer that we're used to.
So that's fun because so Silver Surfer has been kind of like in the background like doing next to nothing and now he's coming out in the Infinite thing.
He's just like chilling out in the middle of nowhere. He's like, oh, there's nothing here. He's like, oh shit, there's Galactus.
So I'm glad to see because I love Silver Surfer. Thor God of Thunder.
Fantastic.
So good.
Yeah, I can't.
I'll weigh in a minute.
That's a 9.2 on the Joshua scale.
It was 7.3, thank you.
I mean, see, the problem is I just heard iFanboy like go crazy for this, you know, earlier today. But I mean, I felt the same way. It ended this great epic run of the three Thors fighting Gore the God Killer. So, like, it tied up everything, but it did it elegantly in a nice, like, little bow. And the only thing beautiful. I'm kind of worried about is how they're going to go to, like, what are they going to do next? You know,
I mean, I've read the next issue. Sorry to keep saying that.
No, it's okay.
But it's more of a filler in between the two story arcs, but it's good.
So good. It was right?
It's
it was
really
so
good.
I mean, it's different though. It's got to be different.
It's very different.
Okay.
But the tone is still the same.
Yeah. And it's not there's only one Thor.
No, there's only one Thor now.
The current Thor.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, that's cuz I'll say one of the most fun things about the God Bomb series or whatever the whole thing's called is seeing like old King Thor who is just, you know, like Odin but likable, you know.
Yeah.
So, what were you going to say, Josh?
I thought it was good, but the end was nowhere near as ambitious as the 10 issues that preceded it.
See, so now in the actual review, all we hear is Joshua yell, I know it was good.
That's what I'll put on the cover jacket.
Yeah, that's the quote.
I know it was good.
Oh man, I got the best.
I feel like your reviews are similar to Scott Lobdell writing. It's a lot of stuff in the beginning and then kind of peters out. Nobody gives a damn at the end.
What did they use from your thing on? You posted that and I thought it was pretty funny. Scott Lobdell.
Someone called for me to like never review again on IGN. That's what Oral was quoting.
Oh,
that was you.
It wasn't me. So I wish it was, though.
So what was your... They used another quote from on one of the jackets, didn't they?
On of Green Lantern New Guardians, I think it was. And it was like,
backhanded.
I had multiple waves of chills reading this book, and I had to put it down because there was too much Green Lantern is blinding my eyes.
Yeah, it was like...
It was like this really long and just like doofus quote, and they used
still,
it.
Still, you get quotes on... Whatever.
Yeah.
We're all jealous. So, I'm excited for what comes next. I love Thor. Someone was saying they think Jason Aaron's writing the best Thor in, like, decades. Like, since Walt Simonson. And I actually really like Straczynski's Thor.
I like Straczynski's
Thor. I even like
Thor.
Thor. You know, ultimately.
No.
I thought the art hindered the book, but I actually really...
No.
The art wasn't great.
What do you guys think of sort of the textured coloring in the
it's
Thor
different.
Book.
Like, I didn't notice
you
it
see
at first.
Where you look, and some guys did like a couple dashes this way, and then this
pencils,
way, and this
like,
way.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I like it.
It's
I
weird.
Really like the art.
It kind of looks weird to me.
It reminds me of like this heavy metal battle van, Starscape cosmos
all
thing
you can
going
hear
on.
Is heavy metal, like literally, like heavy metal music, and it's like the heavy metal comic.
Yep.
Exactly,
Frank like, Rosetta sort of.
I love it.
But
I love it.
I saw that too, and it's weird. It's a weird effect. I don't know.
And it's weird that he does it all on the computer to have that done that way.
Gosh, I didn't realize
that. Cool. He does?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all computer.
It looks all so hand.
I know. Yeah. It looks all hand. And I think I was talking to Jared about it, about how...
Ribic?
How like somebody could do that to make...
No, I was talking about the color. It's not the...
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait.
So wouldn't that be on computer?
So the computer, the coloring is computer, but Ribic is all pencils?
I don't know.
Yes, that can be done.
Well, I don't know, because we were talking to Steve McIsaac, upcoming podcast you guys will be hearing probably after this. And it was a lot of fun, and a lot of his stuff is computer-based.
Yeah.
I had no idea like how much he did, and he does it because it's easy to shrink it down. He doesn't do well in small detail, but he can write, he can do big and then, you know, shrink down.
Well, that's that is the process. You know, you start big, and then the resolution shrinks down.
Well, but remember, I don't know if you get, like, the Filipino writer or Filipino artist movement in like the 70s, was it Infantino went to the Philippines and brought some artists over?
Oh, I don't know.
Were brought over, so they were so successful because they did so small. Like, they were good at doing the format because they were no computers, they couldn't shrink and all that. So they were good at doing small detail.
Okay.
Anyway, I just didn't know how that process worked. But Ribbit stuff's great. So, X-Books, they're all pretty damn good.
Yeah, everything is
except for Legacy. Legacy is still terrible.
Whoa. What the heck is with Jean and Beast?
She's a furry. Let's move on.
No. She likes her bears. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
That was that like seeded before? Were they like kind of winking at each other or saying things to each other that I just didn't pick up on?
It's been saying that he's had these feelings for her, but he never told her.
I feel like that came out of the
blue.
And
she didn't have the telepathy, and now she has the telepathy, so...
And now she's getting it.
Yeah.
Now she understands.
And then she's like, why didn't you ever tell me?
Was there ever a chemistry for them, let's say, ever?
From what I read...
And then also, was there ever in just this all-new X-Men run?
Yes. Think of Grant Morrison's new X-Men, where Beast and Jean are always, like, right there together, with Professor X, is because they're the smartest ones besides Kitty, like when it comes to genetics and such, and so they're always helping the professor, and they always had this close rapport, and now they're just adding a romantic.
But I think even before,
it was when she first showed up at the door, it's like they all had the hots for her, but she just went for Cyclops.
Exactly.
He hid his feelings and stayed the friend, the true friend to her.
Yep. They're like the gay gal pal.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
The blue.
I've seen Beast written as almost gay, and I prefer him like that.
I do too, actually. Being nice.
That'd be fantastic.
Oh, I have to mention Ramon Perez doing the art on Uncanny X-Force now with the Revenants. Did you guys read that?
It's a remember the bad book.
Oh,
what? One of the two bad books. I didn't give a fuck about Phantom X.
I don't mind. No, this is after Phantom X.
No, I was still bored.
Okay, but the Revenant thing I don't know about. Like, I guess that's a
bored
to stuff. I
bored
don't know about it.
Cable X-Force is awful.
But I'm talking Uncanny.
I'm talking about both Uncanny X-Force.
You just don't like X-Force. Admit it. You don't like X-Force
because they're bad.
Remender.
Yes. Yeah. The both of them are bad. And I like Sam Humphries.
I like both.
I really want him to do well, but I can't.
You didn't like the weird three-way relationship?
I choked down that book.
I thought it was fun.
It was okay.
I thought it was fun.
It's not, but didn't too much around Psylocke. It's like, she's still.
It is very Psylocke-centric. What?
Did anyone read Wolverine and the X-Men?
Yes, I did.
The conclusion to the Hellfire Saga?
No,
I mean, that hasn't come out yet.
I'm sorry, the penultimate issue.
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
It was fun.
That was with the Ice Voltron.
Yes.
I lost my mind.
Yes.
I was ridiculous.
It was so good. And he's in there actually controlling the robot.
Like, I slash go.
What did Katie say to him? If you do such and such, you get to third base or something?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
It's Wolverine the X-Men is fun. Mm-hmm. Uncanny X-Men, even though they keep switching artists, I really like it.
They can keep switching artists. I love Frasier, and I love, what's the other guy?
Bob Bacalo.
Yeah, I love both of them. They're very different.
I love
That's
Bacalo.
What's weird is they're very different styles. So switching back and forth is a little disconcerting, but they're both
all
excellent.
New X-Men is so great, except for this past issue with the Beast. The art was awful.
It's a very stylized thing if you like it, and it worked well on Spider-Man. He was the La Fuente, right?
No, he was awful in that too.
A lot of people really liked it.
A lot of blind people.
And that's why they killed Peter.
It's a style thing.
And Peter suffered for that one.
I am not reading Avengers Academy, but I have heard nothing but good things.
No, it's
Arena.
Avengers Arena.
I
wrote Academy. Sorry, my bad.
Avengers Arena is super fun.
Yeah.
I enjoy that book. It's an unsung book. It's not as good as Young Avengers.
What did you think of the sort of reveal?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, I liked it.
Because remember, we were like... Oh my god, what does this weird reveal mean with all like the different parts of all the different heroes and stuff?
Yeah.
And then we saw that they're like robots and stuff that Arcade is using as placeholders.
Actually, what Hopeless has said is all we saw were like bodies. in like chambers. That's all we saw.
Right.
And actually, Avengers Arena is ending after a boss level.
Really?
And then it's restarting
with a new group
as a new title.
Yeah, this is like season one right now of a larger story.
So all of that stuff is taken care of. Like, there was an end in sight for Arena because Arena can't go on forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then after Arena is something new.
Interesting.
And I like it.
It's a good idea.
It's very good. It stands on its own.
And I guess unlike the other book, this isn't hopeless.
Meh. No, it's not.
Mm, good.
No, it's been a roller coaster ride, both of quality and of excitement. Yeah. And but it's been, I would say check it out.
I'll go back and pick it up when it comes out in trade.
The first volume's already out.
Anything else? Comics?
Nope. That's
so, it. So please find us on Facebook. We are up
Facebook,
there.
Facebook, Twitter, Flame On Show. Flame On Show.
Look forward to Oral's exciting new microsode series coming very soon.
It's about me and Drag Queen.
Let's face it.
But mainly me.
Okay. Excuse me, why you have to go out?
Art contest, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for reminding me, please.
Okay. Those of you who listen to us and you're really talented with drawing and painting all that, since I can't do the album artwork anymore because of school.
Because he hates us.
Try submitting some stuff to us. We'd love to see what you got, and maybe if we like it enough, we'll post it up on the
Which rule was it we were interested
in? Right now, the theme we're going to be working with right now is Rule 63. So you got a favorite female superhero, and you want to turn her into a dude, we'd love to see it.
Jean Grey. No, we're not just looking for Jean Grey, although Jean Grey would be fine. Somebody did a Jean Grey cosplay. It was really good as a guy. But we are trying to find out.
That was me.
Facebook, I will put up a post, and we will have you guys submit there.
I just saw a male Firestar with a boa. That's all I saw.
You want to do a male Firestar with a boa?
I would like to see a male Psylocke, if anyone wants to do that.
But the ninja outfit, right?
Stop it with the wasp!
So you see
no, fuck
a male wasp would be amazing.
Hank Pym already did it.
That's true. A male Dazzler, and no Dean from Australia.
Rose Gates
friends.
Only.
You cannot show your cosplay, which was awesome. What else? Anybody else? Ideas?
There's a limitless possibility.
Yes, please.
Yeah, surprise us. Go outside of the box.
We're excited, and if you are selected, I will talk to you about what you win. We'll figure out some kind of prize, but you will also get lots of publicity and your art on our album art for our episodes.
Yeah, our Twitter is at Flame On Podcast.
Yes, show is Flame On Show on Facebook. And Google Plus, which those of us who still
nobody uses Google Plus.
So
Brian
emails,
does.
We're all at flameonshow.com.
If you have any questions, what's the email for the questions?
Info, or I'm sorry, we'll send it to thequestion@flameonshow.com.
And we promise you that we'll only read one.
But please put your Twitter handle so we can at you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And look forward to Steve McIsaac is the next exciting microsode. And after that, maybe some gay gaming,
some World of Warcraft themed episode,
and the exciting new drag thing centric.
Ooh, I'm so excited because it's about me.
No, it's not.
All queens and me.
Honey, it's only about you if you do drag.
Well,
is that going
to
happen?
I mean, that's what we'll work up to at the end of the season.
That will be spectacular.
Carl, you did drag once, didn't you?
Weren't you like a Sailor Scout?
Oh my gosh. Are there pictures?
Well, we're going to be doing like a drag Sailor Scouts for the next one, and I've done.
I want to be a Sailor Scout. Can I be Michelle? Can I be Neptune?
Yes, you may.
Yay! I'm going to pull off that.
Thanks for being on, Carl.
It's
super fun.
Yeah, thank you for letting me.
Thanks to our special guests, Carl
and
Matt.
Straight Boy on the Floor.
Hi, Matt.
It's fun as always.
And thanks for getting us listeners in Kentucky. I'm glad to hear that we have listeners all the way up there.
Ooh, do one of you want to do the sign off?
Oh, God.
Flame off!
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, A Comic Shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast. or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.